Good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access. Calibrate digital audio.
Equalize it. Add echo.
Set up. We initiate transition.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
will support the troops make off these stock markets this week.
Yeah.
Over all the blood that it's cost.
That's right.
I'm so upset. I mean,
I know.
We Americans have got to do something. We are the ones that ended Vietnam. It was not Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been hearing this week. Give me a break. How they change history. I think we'd better wake up as a nation or God's going to punish us.
Well, things aren't going so well.
I'm sorry I tried to send you money this week. Give out your address again. My dad threw it out. He didn't know what it was. So this time, I'm writing it on my calendar on the wall, and it will not be thrown out that way.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, guys.
We'll get that a little later. Thanks for calling, Diana. You know, I mentioned that they haven't called the last couple of weeks. Our right-wing friends just haven't called the program lately. And I think they've gone undercover for now. But be advised, they still hate us with a sort of psychotic hatred, usually only exhibited by mentally unbalanced people. And I see that in my email every week. They're not nearly so vocal about backing their boy Bush as they were, but they are far more hateful than ever with their personal attacks. I can attest to that, all right. And you'd only have to read my email after each show to know that they're out there in droves. They don't have the courage to call in and defend their boy Bush, but rather they hide behind their keyboards where they can throw their insults and their hate without having to be accountable to anybody. And it's really a pitiful lot, really. They know they're losers, and they know their boy Bush is a big loser, and they're so desperately trying to find a way to avoid having to admit that they were so dreadfully and absolutely wrong by giving him their vote for the presidency. You know, the most precious gift we have as citizens to give, to throw away a vote on a man like this, it's got to hurt. You know, think about that for a moment. You're a Republican, have always been a Republican, and you're going back, you're going to back your nominee for the office of president no matter what, but then the party insiders push a guy like Bush out in front, and you're forced to either vote for him or stay home. So you take a chance, and you throw your vote his way, and then you find out he really is the incompetent boob that the Democrats said he was all along. And imagine being in that position. You voted for this guy, helped him get into office, and then you find out he's probably the most incompetent and dishonest man to ever walk the White House hallways. Do you admit it? Do you admit it and say I was wrong, or do you stonewall your way through it, never admitting it, and try and put lipstick on this pig of a president and make him pretty? Do you try and do that? You know, sooner or later, you have to face the fact that it's all some sort of a bad dream and your boy Bush is the ultimate loser and he's taken steps that may well lead to the ruination of this great country unless someone puts a stop to his ridiculous policies. So what do? You can't possibly admit to the Democrats that you're wrong, so you go on the attack. And my, haven't we seen that lately? And you insult them, you kill the messengers, you call them names and try and deflect the attention away from the fact that this is, without a question, the most ruinous, catastrophic, just plain terrible presidential administration in this nation's history. You know, if you voted for Bush, it's kind of like admitting you put all your money, put all your money into the stock market the day before Black Tuesday in 1929, or maybe kind of like buying tickets on the Titanic and bragging about it to all your friends. It's the same thing. And, you know, we Democrats, we're not cleaning this whole thing. We know what this is like in political life. Well, at least a little bit anyway. I mean, when Clinton got caught up in that Monica Lewinsky thing, I was mortified. But at least Clinton was a good president. At least the ship of state under Clinton was sailing a course toward prosperity and national well-being. And they could holler all they wanted to about Clinton's peccadillo with Monica, but at least he was a functioning president with the intellect to keep this country running smooth. So, you know, sure, we Democrats know a little bit about having to bite our tongues, but this guy Bush has been a disaster. From the very start, from the very beginning of his administration right up till now. And how do you explain to the country that, during 9-11, before 9-11, you'd gotten everything but the numbers of the plane as a warning from your intelligence community? How do you explain taking a five-week vacation to the ranch in a time of crisis like we're in right now? How do you explain being away from the White House for 319 days during his administration so far? That's right. 319 days. How do you explain taking 2 hours in the middle of the day every day to work out when you're the president of the United States of America? How do you explain that to the families that have two people working three or four jobs between them just to make ends meet? And how do you explain the more than 1,800 flag-draped coffins coming home from a war you caused for absolutely nothing? How do you explain away your lies about the WMDs and the gathering threat and that mushroom cloud Condoleezza Rice threat just with? How do you explain away the fact that the Iraqi people want us the hell out of their country right now after you said we'd be welcomed as heroes? How do you explain the corruption and the misplaced money sent to Iraq, that extra money that ended up in Halliburton and KBR's pockets? How do you explain to the American children that you don't have enough money to spend on their schools, but you do have $300 billion to squander, you know, throw away on a war that was a total lie in the first place? How are you going to explain to the next victims of terror in this country that, oh, we're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here? You know, you can join Tony Blair in explaining that one to your countryman, George. The Democrats are working hard formulating plans to get this ship straight again. We're talking about protecting our borders properly. I know that's going to be a big part of this next Democratic administration, closing the borders to illegal aliens, repairing the terrible damage to the Bush administration, terrible damage they've done to our reputation and honor around the world, and it's going to take a good Democrat to restore that. And once Bush is gone, well, that will be fixed by a new Democratic administration. You can count on that. And God knows no one in the world outside of Tony Blair trusts this guy, and I'm not sure Tony Blair does. He just feels the need that he has to go along with him. And I don't care who's in power. We need to get our military spending under control, our defense budget, or during the Bush administration, shouldn't I call it, our offense budget is running wild, and it's got to be brought back to realistic numbers. We can't afford any longer to have this military-industrial complex robbing and fleecing the American public like they've done for the past few decades. You talk about fat cats living off the fat of the land. These people in this military-industrial complex have gotten ultra-rich off the backs of the American worker, and it's a shame. And we got to come up with a solution to our health care problem. The cost of health care is getting out of control. And it's been spiraling out of control for many years. And somebody's got to take the bull by the horns and put in place a decent health care system for all Americans instead of the fortunate few. And you know, you hear this all the time. Oh, we got the great health care. Yes, we've got the greatest health care technology in the world. But it's not available to all Americans. And how many terrible health problems could be avoided if health care were, you know, if we're available for early detection of dreaded diseases? How many people find out they're critically ill after the fact because they couldn't afford to go to the doctor? Democrats can and will solve this problem. We just have to take it out of the hands of the fat cats who run the insurance industry and the healthcare industry. But anyway, first things first.
You've heard.
Many people are now realizing they've been taken away by Bush and his three-card Monte game, and they'll be looking for a better leader next time. We just have to make sure that a better leader is the best possible candidate that Democrats can put forth. Another administration like this one, well, I hate to say it, but another administration like this one could spell the end of America as we know it. I really believe that. And I know, according to the polls lately, a lot of you believe it too. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
This is the Guy James Show. Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station.
Came out of the internet. You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
We at the Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. But you know, here shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings of hurt and pain who make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, it doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings to listen to DeChaney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Roof, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just that.
What, George, what are you doing?
Thinking my son a little something. Well, he'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that, true that.
Turn the two.
Woo!
Ha
ha ha. Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. Woo!
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show. The NOG. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501, 02, 03, and 04 right now. And chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
We're back with you tonight, and glad to have you along here. Our internet audience along with us, and the local here folks too. You know, I wanted to talk to you tonight a little bit about what can we Democrats do to get this train of ours back on the tracks. As you know, as you're all painfully aware, we've been losing elections. And I think there's a lot of reasons why we've lost elections, many, many, many. But really, we've lost the marketing battle, I think. And I want to ask all of our friends on the internet and our local friends here that listen to the program, what are you doing? What are you doing to help the Democratic Party win elections? Are you somebody that just goes around on the internet and talks about politics, or do you get out and get involved in your local Democratic club? Because they're right. All politics is local. It's all local. And it starts at the local level, And if you're not participating at a local level, you know, we're not going to get anywhere. And I find that so many people are just really good at hollering about everything that's wrong, but not really getting involved. And I think that's something that's happening a lot in our Democratic Party right now. I just don't think enough people are getting involved. And, you know, week after week, I get prepared to do a show, the best possible show I can present. And I know several other liberal broadcasters who do the same. And we don't do it because we're out to enrich ourselves. God knows this show costs me plenty of money, and we're constantly on the verge of going off the air because of lack of funds. But I do this because I care. And I do this because I worry about my country and the direction that it's headed. And I do it to try and make a difference and inform the public of the truth, instead of having them hear nothing but the lies and distortions coming to see from the, you know, the sea of right-wing talkers. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Only yesterday, just yesterday, I heard the famous narcotic addict Rush Limbaugh saying that Paul Hackett almost won the congressional race in Ohio, and get this, almost won in Ohio because the Republicans in Ohio don't like their senators, DeWine and Voinovich, and they stayed home to protest the two of them. Does that make any sense to you at all? You know full well why, if the Republicans stayed home, it was a protest against George W. Bush, not DeWine and Voinovich. Those two guys are real popular in Ohio, and they're down-to-earth Republican senators that sometimes make a lot of sense, which is more than I can say for a lot of them. But that's a flat-out lie. It's just a plain, bald-faced lie that Limbaugh told all of his people. You know, now any thinking person knows that statement is patently false, and the Democratic candidate Hackett, he nearly won because he campaigned against the war, and the people of Ohio have had second thoughts about Bush's war, and the vote was a protest against Bush, not Senators Voinovich and DeWine. You know, what utter nonsense. And yet millions, some who are listening to this program right now, millions of pillheads listeners, they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Probably telling their neighbors, yeah, you know. What a shame. And why is it that a complete phony like Limbaugh has the ear of millions of listeners? It's simple, really. For years, there was nothing else in the way of talk radio on the air. And he was the only one nationally, and he made it big. And, of course, dozens of them followed in his footsteps. But what was it that made all of these right-wing talkers so successful? Was it because they were so politically astute on the issues? Certainly not. I think they've proven that. All you got to do is listen to them. Republicans have gotten to where they are today because of their incredible commitment to marketing savvy. That's right, marketing. They don't really give a damn about the issues, but marketing, that's another story altogether. Do any of you really think any of the talkers on the right really give a damn about Roe v. Wade? I think you'd be kidding yourself if you said they really, really care about Roe v. Wade, because they do not. No, sir. What the Republicans have done such a good job of is developing a marketing strategy that exploits human nature and social psychology, if you will. The Democrats have spent their time trying to explain their views on the actual issues, while the Republicans have concentrated on being successful with an image campaign. The Democrats just don't get it. You know, let's face it. The left has their hardcore core, and the right has their hardcore bunch. They're not going to sway either way. Either side's not going to sway. It's the swing voters. They're the ones both sides are trying to persuade. But most of the swing voters are not that well-versed on the issues, and they're easily swayed by a good marketing campaign. So naturally, they end up using their impressions of the candidates to make their decisions. The Republicans fully understand this, and they form their entire strategy around it. You know, take a look at the last election, for example. Did Roe v. Wade have an impact on the election? Absolutely not. But the swift vote Veterans for Truth sure did. That bunch of liars, as far as I'm concerned, helped swing this election. The Republicans didn't bother with the issue, but they just swayed the swing voters with a very successful smear campaign against John Kerry. And rather than attack his views on the issues, they branded him early on as a, and you all heard it a million times, a flip-flopper. It was the image campaign that won the election for him. You know, you can trace it back, and all of you that have been in politics for a long time, you know, back during the 80s, Lee Atwater proved to be the Republican, you know, he proved to the Republican powers that be that image was far more important than any issues. Remember the Willie Horton campaign? Do all of you remember that? I certainly do. The image created was that Michael Dukakis was some sort of an ogre, some sort of a bad guy, because supposedly he let Willie Horton out of jail and Horton killed someone while on furlough. The fact was that Dukakis had nothing to do with Horton being out of jail, but the headlines stated that Horton did this on Dukakis' watch, and that was good enough for the swing voters because they read the headlines and that's all they knew about it. Atwater knows the swing voters don't get heavily involved, and sound bites are good enough for him, and he knew how to play to that audience. You know, Atwater was on to something there with the Horton thing, and it's worked beautifully. You see, Atwater had learned that the media was far more inclined to report the personal attacks than they were to present the actual issues. Why report issues? They're so boring and dry. So to get the attention of the swing voters, the personal attacks were the way to go, and there was no one ever better at it than Lee Atwater, and of course, Karl Rove has learned the lessons well. Now, I'm not saying we need to turn around and spend 24/7 demonizing the Republicans. There's enough of that already. But what we do need to do is define ourselves instead of letting them do it. The Republicans have not defined themselves as anything, really, but they have defined we Democrats on the most negative level possible. They own the media. And they take every opportunity to bash the Democrats, and we just sit here and take it. And tell me, think about this. Just what did John Kerry and John Edwards do during the last election to fight back against the charges of Kerry being a flip-flopper? Huh? And even more importantly, what did they do to fight back against the terrible statements made by the Republicans and their well-funded smear machine that Kerry was some kind of a traitor based on his war record? They made him out to be a coward in the midst of a battle, and they claimed he got all of his medals under false pretenses. Now, we know those were all despicable lies, but tell me, what did Kerry do to fight back? What would you do to fight back? I know what I would have done to fight back. But the answer is, Kerry did almost nothing. Nearly nothing. He was going to stay above it. He wanted others to do it for him when the solution to the problem was for him to get mad as hell and go on a rampage and paint the Republicans, you know, responsible for those charges as the bastards that they really are. He wanted somebody else to do it. But no, he and his campaign thought the charges wouldn't resonate with the public. But what, you know, they did. They did resonate with the public. And the swing voters ate it up. One headline after another charged Kerry with being a traitor and a coward, and almost nothing was done about it. Where was John Kerry getting in front of the public and saying, I'm not going to take this. This guy is a damn liar. Where was he? And the Republicans have done a masterful job of negatively impacting words used to describe Democrats. You can thank Newt Gingrich for that. He really started that one. Take the word liberal and conservative, for example. Whenever you hear a Republic say the word liberal, they say it with utter scorn and contempt in their voice. The term itself has no negative connotation, but the Republicans drip with contempt every time they utter the word liberal. You listen to when Limbaugh and Hannity and all of you, liberal. Do we say conservative that way? No, we don't. So liberals become a negative term to the swing voters. And how about conservative? Do the Democrats smear that word? Do we make it something awful? No. I'm not saying we should either, but why is it we allow them to get away with doing that to us, and we just sit by and let it happen without uttering a peep? You know, we've lost the media battle at every turn. They have us on the run in the media, and they're taking full advantage of it. Did Kerry do anything about it when Cheney and his lovely wife Lynn feigned outrage the day after Kerry at the Democratic convention said that their daughter was a lesbian? Oh, they were just beside themselves with phony anger, and Kerry came back and apologized. Apologized for what? Calling a lesbian a lesbian? Is that something to apologize for? I think not. But Kerry was made to look the bad guy again. The facts are, folks, that we're being taken to the cleaners in the media and by the Republicans, and we're taking it, and the leaders of the Democratic Party and those who are chosen to advise them in their political campaigns are woefully inadequate in fighting back. never seen a bigger group of losers. How about an old-style Harry Truman defense? Go before the public and call a spade. The public can take it, and they should be confronted with the truth. If our candidates are being smeared, we need to fight back in tough, plain-spoken English. If lies are being told about them, being told about our candidate, that candidate needs to go on national TV and call them the liars and demand a truthful explanation. Demand it. We must expose the Republicans for what they have been for over a decade now, the worst kind of liars and phonies the American political arena has ever seen. They've perfected it. And if we don't, we're going to continue to get our butts kicked in every national election from now on, and that's a fact. Well, I'd like to know how you think about this. We are going to pause for a break now. I went a little past the bottom of the hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Guy James Radio Network. Wink, WNOG.
You don't typically think of a newborn baby as having teeth, but actually, at birth, a newborn already has formed the 20 primary or baby teeth, which can begin showing up by the time the child is 6 months old. By the age of 3, your child should have a full set of 20 baby teeth. Baby teeth are just as important as permanent teeth. They aid in chewing, speaking, and appearance. They hold the space for permanent teeth and help give the face its shape and form. If a baby tooth is lost too soon, a space maintainer may be needed until the permanent tooth appears. Otherwise, the permanent teeth may come in crooked, causing lengthy or expensive treatment in the future. Help establish a friendly relationship with your dentist by scheduling a dental visit by your child's first birthday. Your dentist can help teach you how to correctly clean your child's teeth and evaluate tooth development. It's never too early to establish good dental habits. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez-Howell. To find out more about your dental health, visit ADA online at ada.org.
A message from Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Call it addiction or drug dependence. I call it a public health crisis. Heroin and other opioid drugs continue to destroy lives. But it's not just heroin. Prescription painkillers can be just as addictive. It can happen to anyone. Now there is new hope for people with this long-term disease. If you or someone you know is addicted to heroin or painkillers, medical treatment is available in a doctor's office.
For more information, call 866-287-2728.
Rush on the United Nations.
There's no reason to participate in an organization where we have to reduce ourselves to dealing with mass murderers. And if we're not willing to deal with them, then why be with them? What's the point?
But Rush, the UN is an international body where compromise and diplomacy...
Yeah, and it's really working, isn't it? Why would you want to reform that? You want to start your own organization with like-minded nations and screw these people.
Get your midday rush on Wing WNOG. Weekdays at noon.
Quarterback looking, firing across the middle. Wow, what a grabbing. Larson clearly had the presentation all over, but somehow he comes up with the football.
On the football field, you've got to stay focused and not get distracted.
NFL Hall of Famer and President and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association, Steve Largent.
The same is true on the road. So before your wireless phone becomes a distraction, take a timeout for safety. Place your phone in easy reach before you leave. Never take notes or look up a phone number while you're driving. In bad weather or traffic, call later. Dial sensibly and use a hands-free device. You know, your wireless phone can be your best safety tool to call for help, stop a crime, or help someone in need. However you use it, remember, with wireless, safety is your call.
The wireless industry reminds you to drive safely. For more information, visit www.wirelesssafety.org.
Okay, let's say you're at home watching TV when a show about the environment comes on. You know, air pollution and greenhouse gases. You get all conflicted because it's important, but you don't know how to help. You can be part of the solution. The fact is, your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car. It's true. That's why the EPA urges you to make your home more energy efficient with Energy Star to help in the fight against air pollution. Discover steps you can take to reduce air pollution from your home and car at EnergyStar.gov, and you'll know you're making a difference.
We have a surprise guest on the phone.
30 seconds.
a one-hour talk show. It'll be called Al Gore's Lockbox. It'll air on a new cable network, 8 o'clock Eastern, 2 Hawaiian.
Your new network, what is it called?
Actually, I forgot the name of my new network.
It's called Courage TV.
That sounds like a wonderful name.
Thank you, Al Gore.
And if I may, indeed.
Yes.
Al Gore's Lockbox, 8 p.m. Eastern, 2 Hawaiian, weeknights.
Daybreak Southwest Florida starts your day 6 to 9 on Wink WNOG. Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. The Guy James Show. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501-0203 and 04 right now. And chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
And we're back. And I hope you are too. You go out and get a sandwich over the break? That sounds good. Big old corned beef on rye. Yeah, a little mustard on it. Now, yours truly hadn't been eating that kind of thing lately. I've been kind of pushing myself away from the table quite a bit lately. And I am a sight for sore eyes right now. I always tell personal stuff on here. I've been wearing sunglasses the past couple of days. Had a little bit of surgery on my eyes. And I look like Quasimodo right now. A lot of people wondered why I thought I was going Hollywood with those dark shades. No, that's not it. That's not it. Do you ever get up in the mirror and get up in the morning and look in the mirror and you're frightened? Well, you looked in the mirror, it's like, ah. That's what you look like after you have that eye surgery, all black and blue and all that. Looked like I was in a pretty good fight. I was going to blame it on my wife, but then I don't think she'd do this kind of damage to me, really. I don't. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Glad to have you along with us this evening. Let's go to Dave in Eureka, California. Hi, Dave.
Well, Guy, I'm afraid I've been a bad communicator because I've been trying to convince you of something for quite a time now. We're not losing these elections. They are being stolen. You understand, and you spell it out clearly, we are dealing with some of the most disreputable, unethical, dishonest psychopaths that we could ever fear to have in our White House. They are that. So, point number one, rigging elections would be totally consistent with their level of character. That's one point. Two, why do you think it was the GOP that had this system designed, voting machines that would leave no records, where votes could be changed, and where you could not, there would be no trail, no traceable trail?
Now, Dave, I know that, and I agree with you on those two statements.
Well,
but the problem is, no one has ever come up with the credible smoking gun.
Well,
no
I
one.
Am trying to do it right now, because why do you think the GOP leadership blocks every effort in this Congress to make these machines verifiable? Why do they fight that and say that will not come to the floor?
Of course they do. Of course they do. But
why do you think on election eve, Guy, Bush's own team comes to him, his aides, and says, the exit polls are out, you've lost badly, you've carried Idaho and Utah. He doesn't get upset. Wait till the regular machine votes come out. Don't worry about it. Why would that be? How would he be so confident that the exit polls were off by several million votes? Do you have any answer on that?
No, but we got to have the proof. We got to be able to take it to court and beat him with it. No one's come up with that, Dave.
I mean,
my suspicions are with you. I do suspect all that. But somebody, somewhere, has to come up with something that goes into court and wins that battle, and no one has.
Well, you see, it isn't accurate to make the case that how Kerry failed, because he didn't fail. How most of the Republican neocon congressmen that are in there, they didn't win. Machines gave it to them. You know, and that's... If we don't see that, we're not going to address it. We're going to keep on telling I hear it everywhere. The Democrats have to move more towards the Republicans. The Democrats have to become more like the Republicans. The Democrats have to be able to become devious, lying, two-faced manipulators like the Republicans. You know, but it's nothing like that. Republicans are... The Democrats are damn good people. They had a good convention.
But they had a nice convention, Dave. They didn't even mention Bush. They didn't even fight back or anything. They promised they were going to have a nice convention, and that's what it was. It was nice.
Yeah, it was too nice. But we did have a Carter, and we did have an Al Sharpton, and
yeah,
there were a few that drew their pistols.
Yeah, they did. It just I don't know. You know, here we are in this past election with on the Republican side the worst candidate that any party could possibly put up for the presidential office.
Right.
Here's a man who had utterly failed in every possible capacity in his first 4 years. Here's a man who had out and out lied to the American public about a war. Here's here's a guy who had failed miserably. And what do? We don't take that office back from him. We should have won that in a landslide, but we didn't.
I believe we did. I believe we did, Guy. I believe that what has happened is that these machines, they can go in and change millions of votes. Any number of small precincts where they had 300 or 400 people voting, some of those precincts delivered more than 5,000 votes for Bush. That's evidence to me that these damn machines are cheating every way they can. You know, incidentally, our new Secretary of State here in California just outlawed these machines again. The last one that did it got beaten down and run out of the state, literally, by the reprisals from the Roe people. But our new Secretary of State has just said these machines are not, they're just too undependable, too inaccurate.
Well, they shouldn't be having them anywhere.
They shouldn't. Every Secretary of State that's worth his weight should be saying the same thing. These machines cheat the people. You know, and I think most of the Republicans, even in Congress, say, we would like to have these machines traceable so that we know we're having honest elections. That it's not happening. They're still hanging on to those machines. Why are they doing that? Why are they saying, no, we're not going to make them verifiable? We'll make them verifiable when pigs fly over the Capitol. They're not going to do it.
No.
And I don't think 2 people, 3 people, 4 people should have enough power to steal a wonderful democracy from the people like that.
Well, that's what we have. We have government in the hands of a very select few. We have an oligarchy right now. If there ever was one in this country, we're faced with it.
Well,
right,
good people like you need to come to believe as a certainty that these elections are being rigged. It is totally consistent with their character to do it, and that's going to be confronted. They have to be literally humiliated into making these machines verifiable or getting rid of them completely.
Well, Dave, until we get the power back, it's not going to happen, and they're not going to let it happen. And I still say, well, first we have to convince the public, and in order to convince the public, someone's got to come up with a good smoking gun, and it's just not been there.
The points that I'm making right now, they sound credible, don't they? I mean,
well, they're credible, but you got to be able to take it to court and pound away and prove it, and no one's been able to do that. Otherwise, I think some Democrats would have taken this into court, and they haven't. And I agree with you that I think there's plenty of shenanigans went on during that election.
How was Diebold able to promise that he would deliver for Bush?
Well, that's right.
The election.
He did deliver for Bush. But still, there, if I were a lawyer and if I were a prosecutor and wanted to take this to court, I'd have to have something in my pocket. And there's
they opened
there.
It in Ukraine just on the same logic. The exit polls went one way, the machines went another way. Therefore, they said, we need another election on paper.
Yeah. Well, that's, I guess, what do you want to call it now? I can't even remember what to call it. At the Hackett election the other day, they didn't even.
No, they didn't. I can't believe it.
No.
How badly that Ohio thing was messed with.
Didn't even do any.
There was not one corporation went down there and took exit polls?
No, no exit polls at all.
Or is it just being hidden? Because I can't help but think that there must have been some good.
No, from what I can gather, there were no exit polls at all. Got to move, Dave. Thanks.
Thank you, Guy.
Yeah, people ask me that all the time. Do I think there's shenanigans that went on with the election? Certainly. I absolutely do. Well, would I? First of all, you got to look at who you're dealing with. Do I think this group would do this? Yes, without a doubt they would do it. They would do, and I've said this many times, anything, and I stress the word anything, to keep power, keep control of the U.S. government. Anything. And they would rig an election. And if they did rig an election, you got to have something to take to court, and I just don't think we've ever had it. We suspect this, and we see a little irregularity here and irregularity there, but nothing that you could go and convince a jury of 12 of your peers with that I can see, anyway. And I think we've been a long way from that, and if there is anything, we're going to have to dig a little deeper. That's all. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Came across an interesting story out of the Daily Texan newspaper. You know, you all know that George Bush is down there in Crawford, Texas, running his chainsaw and clearing brush and riding his bike and driving his pick-em-up truck and just having him a good old time down there, just trying to be a good old Texas boy that was actually raised in the East, a Texas boy that doesn't know how to ride a horse. But anyway, he's down in Crawford, Texas right now. And where was this? Anyway, he rode through this town, but I was looking for this one. Doggone, I can't find this one. Anyway, yeah, roads were shut down in Grapevine. He landed in Grapevine, Texas, and the roads were shut down Wednesday. And get this, the Secret Service went around and told residents that lived in the nearby apartments between Dooley and Ruth Wall Roads, they were warned not to look out their windows on Wednesday. Many, many residents on Dooley and Ruth Wall Roads said the Secret Service came along the road and told them not to look out of their windows. You can't even look at him now. School buses from Grapevine Colleyville School formed a perimeter around the site where Bush was scheduled to land. They parked empty school buses. You know, I could be wrong, but I don't remember this kind of thing going on when Bill Clinton was president or Herbert Walker Bush was president or Ronald Reagan was president. Those guys could go pretty much anywhere they wanted to, and there were extremists and terrorists out then too. And the press was put some 4 miles away from Bush. You didn't want him anywhere near. But imagine someone knocking on your door and telling you not to look out your window because the President of the United States is going to drive back. You have to wonder, you know, you'd have to slap yourself upside the head and say, where the hell am I? Is this some sort of Alice in Wonderland thing here? Don't look out my window because this man is going by. Actually, I think they didn't want him to see him because they might turn into a pillar of salt. I think that's what might really happen, but, you know, here it is, the King of America driving by, and that's, make no mistake about it, that is what George Bush sees himself as and his people. George Bush is the King of America. Make no mistake about that. That's exactly the way he sees himself. But I wonder if he reads the polls. Got the latest Newsweek poll, and 61% now disapprove of Bush's actions in Iraq. That's up 7 points in just 1 month, 61%. And I got an interesting letter I'm going to read you a little bit later from a GI that's over there right now. Sent me an email from Abu Ghraib prison. Okay, he's not in the prison, he's a guard, and one of the new guards, not one of them was there during all the funny business going on, but they've got a new group there, and I've got a letter from one of the guards at Abu Ghraib prison, and he's going to tell it like it is, okay? Going to tell it exactly like it is, and I think you'd be very interested to hear exactly how it is right now. But old Bushy's popularity down to 42%, the lowest in the history of a second term president. 42%. So all of you high and mighty right wingers that write all these letters to the editor and the filthy email I get and all, you know, you're in the minority now, folks. You are. You are in the minority now. The people that don't like Mr. Bush far outnumber you. And I might remind you, since his popularity is down to 42%, that means a whole lot of Republicans are against him now as well. Many, many are against him now as well. So do remember that. And we hope we get our callers from Ohio a little later on. You know, that cesspool they've got going on up there with... Well, they got a special counsel in now on this Noe case, and he's linked very closely to the governor of Ohio, Taft. And it how is it from all my Ohio friends that we've got a governor there that supposedly is a smart guy? You know, to run for governor, you'd think you'd have a certain amount of intelligence. We have a guy there that's the governor of the state of Ohio, and he's supposed to have some intellect, and yet he could not recall 60 instances where he went to golfing with guys like Noe and lobbyists. He didn't recall one of these 60 times that he went out to play golf with these folks. Now, that means he's got a really terrible memory. He's a flat-out liar, or he's completely incompetent, and I think it's probably all three. Taft is a disgrace to the state of Ohio, and of course it's Ohio that brought the victory home for George W. Bush. So interesting. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Do hope you'll give us a call. We're going to pause for a short break right now, and we'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
Yes, it's EITC time again. You know, the Earned Income Tax Credit. At the IRS, we're here to help.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Ben and Suzanne Williams, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Meehef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Do you have a business or product that might...
OG.
The Guy James Show. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501-0203-04 right now. And chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
And back with you, coming up on the top of the hour here. I'm going to take a moment here quickly, and I'm going to read you this letter that came from the heart of Baghdad, okay? And this is from the guy over there. We'll just say his name is Rob, and he's one of our fine soldiers over there right now. So the guy, it's good to hear from you. I was originally for the war, but when WMDs were not found, I thought maybe a mistake had been made. However, as time went on and some reports have been made public about how the current administration tweaked the facts that fit their little agenda, I got pissed. Still, I'm a soldier, and it's my duty to go where I'm needed, so I volunteered to deploy with my current unit. I've been in theater over 7 months now, and it's my personal opinion that this war in Iraq was poorly planned and an avoidable mistake. I'm so sick of people in the news and on TV telling the American people how great it is for the Iraqi people that we got rid of Saddam and installed democracy. Democracy as we know it will never work here. The coming months will prove that, I think. From what I've seen, folks who are banging the war drums for this mess over here have a vested interest in war as a business or are blindly following their political party's agenda. You would not believe the amount of waste that goes on here, guy. True, all large organizations have a certain amount of waste, but the waste here is just totally out of control. I do believe in the war on terror, but not in Iraq. All that we're doing over here now is providing a training ground for terrorists. This goes on to say a whole lot more about it. From what I've seen here in Iraq, we will not be leaving anytime soon. My bet is we will be around for years to come, or at least until the oil runs out. There you have it. There's from a soldier right smack in the middle of it. And he speaks the truth. Boy, I hear that all the time. That is very indicative of other letters I get. I hear that all the time. You go to Fox News and you listen to it like it's Alice in Wonderland over there. They got just Disney World in Iraq. Oh, everything's fine. They're building all these new schools, and the sewers are fixed, and the electricity's on, we've rebuilt this, and we've rebuilt that, we've replaced a tiny, tiny bit of what we destroyed in the first place. The fact is, and what I hear from most of the soldiers that I hear from over there, the fact is they had it way better before we came to town, folks. They had it way better. They did have electricity most of the time, and their sewers did work, and their schools weren't destroyed, and things were working rather well. Yes, they lived under a bad dictator, and I think time would have taken care of that situation. I'm sure it would have taken care of the situation. It wasn't necessary to kill countless thousands of innocent Iraqis and over 1,800 Americans and some other GIs from our other countries around the world in order to get rid of one tin-horn dictator who was toothless and not a threat to anybody, not a threat to his neighbors, not a threat to the United States. He was a threat to no one. No one in the Middle East feared him whatsoever. No one. So we've got a lot to talk about the rest of the show. We do hope you'll stick around and join in with us. Love to have your calls. You're listening to The Guy James Show on Wink, WNOG, Fort Myers and Naples, Florida. And we're going to be back after the news at the top of the hour.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG. The Guy James Show is on in less than 4 minutes.
There, see what you made me do.
I'm very excited. I'm very pleased.
It's going too far.
Correct.
Okay? This is not normal.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Stephanie, before?
Let me tell you why you're here.
Iron Man.
Adaptation.
All right, dear, here's the deal.
Improvisation.
And we're looking for what?
Your weakness.
Just what?
Not your technique.
But before y'all get to being in the office, a couple things I want you to understand.
Again?
Oh, wait, that was on Final Jeopardy last night. Damn, Alex.
Good.
Give me your attention, bro. A moment?
Show me.
I see we have a question.
You have to see it for yourself.
What will follow is a series of simple tests. Motor skills, concentration, staffing.
Good at that, buddy. You have no idea who you are.
You're all here because you're the best of the best.
Okay.
Charge Snyder.
Can you run over your plan with me one more time? Because I'm struggling with it.
Aren't you going to read me my rights?
That's banging, right?
I offered you a bag, not the whole kitchen.
Whoa, hold on there.
I do not want to go to jail. I don't want to get arrested.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 3 minutes.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Don't even worry about that. I got you covered.
Is that right?
Are we going to go out there and make out or something?
Man!
That is cool.
Excuse me. Look, this is the real world. This is politics.
You're all under arrest!
Once again, the communication process is broken down.
Listen, you're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
You're in or you're out. Right now.
Look, we all go way back, and I owe you from the thing with the guy in the place, and I'll never forget it.
A little professionalism, please!
You're looking to be getting in. It's an extremely private party.
Now, you want to act like a kid, then you just stand there with your finger in your nose while the great one speaks.
Man, what's with all this hostility, man?
What did you say? Only take one step at a time. That's why I was given 2 feet.
Okay, see, just move this down, though. I'm not having any fun here. You know how cranky I get when I don't have any fun.
All right, so what do you want us to do? You know, we're exhausted. We haven't slept for 2 days.
Stay on the trail. You sleep next month.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 2 minutes.
What's next, fellas? Cow tipping?
I've digitized and synchronized them, so we're ready to go.
Where am I?
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, damen und herren,
from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present, for your intellectual and philosophical pleasure, crude, yes, primitive, yes, perhaps even grotesque, yet something inexplicable tells me that this might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access granted.
Calibrate digital audio.
Synchronize it.
Set up. Complete. Initiate transmission.
WNOG. Democratic Radio is on the air now. The Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James. Hello, we're back, and I hope you are too. And hope you're ready for a couple more hours of the Guy James Show here. You know, I was thinking over the break, and you know, I think it might just be a good idea to switch parties and become a Republican. I mean it. It's got to be a lot easier. You know, think about it for a minute. If I were a Republican, I could forevermore forget about having to protect the environment. I wouldn't have to think another thing about protecting the environment. You could drill for oil right out here on the beaches, right? Right up and down the beach, Naples and Fort Myers, Florida. It'd be all over hell. Make the beaches black. Wouldn't matter to me. You could drill out in the middle of Lake Erie and on the lawn of the White House if you had to. And then let's not quit there. There's got to be some oil underneath the Arlington National Cemetery and probably the Capitol building, too. So no more tree hugging for me either. Let's get it over with and cut down all the national forests. There are every damn tree in the national forest. Let's cut it down and make plywood out of it. And then we can import our lumber from the Amazon jungle in Brazil until that runs out, too. And that's going to not be too long, baby. That's not what the guys up in the space shuttle right now are saying. It's not going to last too long. And, let our kids and grandkids worry about their own damn lumber. I mean, who cares? Why are we worried about protecting this environment anyway? If I'm a Republican, and if I were a Republican, I could forget about being responsible for the taxes too. You know, these firemen and policemen and school teachers and such—they get some kind of another job. Who needs them? And Social Security and Medicare—who cares? I'm taking care of myself. We don't need Social Security and Medicare. And if I were to become a Republican, I could jump on the war bandwagon, too. And I would. Let's attack anybody. Anybody in the whole world we even think could ever be a threat to us. I mean, let's go after Iran and Syria and North Korea and the French and all the Muslim countries, of course. Let's just conquer the entire world and take their resources. We're entitled to them anyway because we're Americans, by God.
And if I were a Republican, I could forget about all this petty bickering about corporate crime, too. You know, those corporations are just doing what comes naturally, and we shouldn't bother them like we are. So what if Kenny Boy Lay makes a few extra bucks? Who cares? And if I were a Republican, I could be for the death penalty and against abortion. And, of course, completely against any child care and funding for public schools. Because, after all, if I'm a Republican, I only care about little kids if I can barely make them out underneath the microscope. You know what I mean? And, of course, being a Republican, I could stop worrying about spending money for silly things like the EPA and protecting our wilderness areas and our national parks and that sort of thing. We could put McDonald's and circuses and everything else in all of our national parks and have cotton candy and just, you know, we could really do it upright. Forget that crap and concentrate on what's really important. Me. So I'm going to do it, I think, sometime. I'm going to turn Republican. I'll be able to forget all about all this common good stuff. You know, I could stop worrying about others and concentrate on what's important, what's really important, and that's me. Because then I'd be a me-publican, don't you think? If I were a Republican. That's what I think, you know. You know that's what I think. Let's go to the phones and talk to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, me publican, that sounds like a good new party.
Yeah.
Me publican has a ring to it.
It does, doesn't it?
Well, I tell you, I've watched a lot of C-SPAN this past week. They've had some great programming on because the guys up there aren't blowing wind out of Washington, D.C. right now. And they had one called Who's Running the World? That was an interesting program to see. All these guys that have been there for just years and years and years, go to the same schools, all buddies and so forth, and it kind of gave me the impression that maybe the president's just a puppet who can be manipulated by these guys.
Oh, absolutely. It's an incestuous thing there in Washington. They all know each other. You're exactly right. They went to school together. They went to Georgetown Foreign School together. They did this together. They all know each other.
Well, and you know, I'm really serious. Does the president really know what the hell's going on? He's just a yes man and a patsy for these guys.
You know he doesn't.
To do their dirty deeds. And of course, they're news tonight is going over the atomic bomb which was dropped to the States 60 years ago and so forth. And that was war. And I'm looking at all this war, and you got survivors from that. 80,000, they say, still survive from that war. Then if you go into Europe, do you know they find about 4,000 pieces of ordnance in Europe that are still left over from World War II that may blow up on people or have actually detonated and killed people? Even this day, those remnants still left from that war.
Wow.
And now here we are with Iraq, and who knows what the hell 60 years from now they'll be digging up over there and blowing themselves up with, because we just threw so much stuff in there. War doesn't accomplish anything but destruction, and I can't understand, if this is a Christian nation, why that's going on. Now, I want to get to Donald Rumsfeld, but I want to lay this out. I watched an Audie Murphy movie about a week ago, and it was titled No Name on the Bullet. And it's where a gunslinger comes into town. Audie Murphy's that character, and everybody knows him as a killer. He's there to kill one of us. This town goes nuts. One guy commits suicide. A couple people get gunfights. A couple want a gunfight with Audie Murphy because they're afraid of he's there to get them personally. The whole town has just gone paranoid. Well, I hear Donald Rumsfeld speaking out in California this week. It's the same plot. We got to be afraid of this. We got to be afraid of that. The Iraqis were no threat to us. And most of these people that Rumsfeld was talking about aren't a threat to us. And I listened to this man, and I asked some friends to listen if they replayed this thing to see if I was correct. But as this man talked, I got the impression that he didn't even believe what he was talking about.
He couldn't.
And as this war goes on, they can't find any reason why they're there. First of all, it was weapons of mass destruction. And when I heard him say this, it sounded like he was so sure of this, because he knew where they were, and he knew that Saddam had them. We still haven't found them. And Donald said he knew where they were. Now, why doesn't he tell us? It'd be so easy, Donald. But then Donald says, well, no, we went in there because this guy was a bad guy, and we had to regime change, which incidentally, when the president was running for office, said he wasn't going to engage in regime change. Then it's, we want to create a democracy, and it's on and on with these reasons we went in there, and as you hear him talk today, it's just gobbledygook. It's like a kid that is trying to give you a reason for what they did, but they don't know why they did what they did. And to take this country into war and kill over 1,800 now of our finest and maim 20 or 30,000 of these people, for what? And the president, I saw him out at the ranch talking about these fellows in Ohio that got killed, and he wants the people there to understand that the nation is praying for them and this is a just cause. And you notice he's always got that smile on his face, like he's delighting in the fact that we've lost this many people. Why does this man get a thrill out of this?
Well, he's just a geek, and I hate to say that about the President of the United States, but you see the way he acts in public. You see his mannerisms in public. He doesn't know how to act in public. He doesn't.
Well, you just don't grin and smirk or whatever that is on his face. I don't understand it. These are people who have lost their lives, and they're some of our finest, highly trained people being wasted. And also showing our enemy our weaknesses. We can't recruit people now. They can say all they want about, oh, the recruitment's going up. No, it's not. The schools that they say they built, maybe they built them over there, but nobody's going to school. The sewers and the pumping stations, they're fixed, but they're not running. They're not working. And now we're talking to some people that are coming back, like you say, and I have a friend that had a fellow that he knows came back. He says those people that they're recruiting and trying to build a military with are some of the most shiftless, laziest people in the world. They lay around the barracks. They don't really do anything except tell the insurgents where our men are going to be so they can blow up 14 of them in a vehicle or snipe at 6 of them that got killed. So here we're training people, giving them all this information, and they're turning it around and using on us, and it's actually worse than Vietnam. But anyway, you Republicans, you go have a good present day, because your man is just right on the ball. Don't you want this country to be better than this? You got 10,000, or you've got 100,000 or 200,000 people from South America that are gang members. They keep flying out of here, and they come back 4 days later. Can we be protecting this country?
Yep.
Those people over there aren't our enemy. I think the people we elect are our enemy.
Well, and you find things out every week about the despicable acts by people in this administration. Now we find out that Halliburton was secretly doing business with the key members of Iran's nuclear team. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they've hidden it through their... what was it, their subsidiary in Dubai, and,
but don't tell these Christian Republicans that, because they don't do those kinds of things. That must be a made-up story.
Yeah, so the Halliburton mail sent to their offices in Tehran and the Cayman Islands is forwarded to the company's Dallas headquarters.
Oh, yeah, I read about that one. It was such a roundabout trip. If you weren't really on it and kept after it and just, if you gave up early, you didn't find out all these things.
Yeah.
Thank heavens for the people that found that stuff out and were able to get it into print, because the media, for some reason, the people that own the media just don't want to write stories like that, because they're in bed with the politicians and they want their legislation through. So we're not going to tell the public the truth and things about what's going on out there.
No. And, that's how it is nowadays.
Yeah. Well, I heard your ad for your show, believe it or not. One night I woke up about 3:30 and had to get a drink of water and so forth, and had plugged in the earphone, and I heard your guy James commercial on. So
at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, they're advertising and boosting your station here.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
All
you
right.
Have a good day now.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks very much. Good to hear from you. Let's go to, where are we going here now? We're going to go to, going to go to Ryan in Cape Coral. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Guy. How are you? I haven't called for a while. How are you doing?
Very good.
That's good. You know, what I wanted to say before I get into my what I wanted to talk about is that I don't want you to ever go lightly on Bush and these Republicans. I want you to keep on really giving it to them and tell it like it is and to really be tough on them, because I was very disappointed, you know, that Kerry did not fight back. And I don't know, you know, when Dukakis didn't fight back, when Bush went on about the Willie Horton thing, Dukakis lost. When Gore didn't fight back and left Bush and the Republicans just run ramshot and steal that whole election the way he did. And then I thought Kerry had learned his lesson, but apparently he didn't. But one way that we Democrats are going to win, and that is when we go after them and we hit them back, because that is the only way we're going to win.
Oh, you know, you can't let them run over us like this, and we have. The Democrat leaders have been a bunch of patsies.
Yes, they have, and I don't understand some of these Democrats in Lee County that tell you that you shouldn't be tough with these people, because that's the only way we're going to win, and if they haven't learned their lesson by now, I don't know when they're ever going to learn. But, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about Iraq and health care. You know, with Iraq, this is the strangest war I've ever seen. You know, first of all, there's no draft. When I was over in Vietnam, there was a draft. Well, there was a tax increase also during that war. I mean, you know, we've had this war. There's no draft. I mean, there's three tax cuts mainly for the wealthy. We got a massive deficit. I mean, when the condition this country was in when Bush became president, it was in pretty good, condition. We were paying down the deficit. Everything was in good fiscal order. But, you know, now all that's ruined. And, I mean, Bush has a lot of nerve to go around and tell people about that we got to privatize Social Security to save it, when he is every year taking $400 billion out of the Social Security Trust Fund. He's stealing that. And I don't know why the media never, ever goes after him about that.
The media is a big disappointment.
It is a big disappointment, because people are going to listen to Fox News and they're going to listen to these other cable shows and all the pablum and nonsense and these right wingers that are on the radio, and they're not going to think if they don't, you know, somebody. It's sad that people are such sheeple, and if somebody don't point it out to them, they're not going to ever figure it out for themselves. But
tell me, as far as the media is concerned, yeah. So somebody please tell me, what happened to the Downing Street memo story?
I'd like to know that.
And what happened to the Karl Rove story?
I'd like to know that.
The Valerie Plame incident. Well,
yes.
What happened to the Sybil Edmonds story?
Yes.
The FBI. What happened to the story about the FBI guy who quit, was fired because they wanted him to massage the intelligence and he wouldn't, and now he's suing the government? What happened to all those stories?
You know, I'd like to know that myself, because every time you hear it for a couple of days in the media, then everybody forgets about it. But, you know, when Clinton was president, Whitewater, and that was a lot about nothing. Hillary, Whitewater, you know, this went on.
Yeah,
and on,
but
and on.
Ryan, they got the sex in on it then, and no sex sells.
Yeah, that's the only thing they could get on him. And I tell you, you know, it is really one thing. We need not only Air America, and we need real broadcasters on there. We don't need comedians. We need people on there who will go after it day after day, like Randy Rose does, like Tom Hartman does, and a few others do, and of course, like you do. I mean, you're one of the best that there is. And you know, if I can also say this about the healthcare thing, you know. The last time I called, there was a person follow up my call who's now deceased, unfortunately, by the name of Andy. I forget his last name. Andy Robinson. Is that his name, Rob?
Andy,
yes. And, you know, if it brings to mind this healthcare thing, if he would have had, you know, the healthcare that he needed, he could have had that diagnosed, and he wouldn't have had to go through what he did. But I mean, you know, I remember very well when Clinton tried to have some form of national healthcare, the Republicans were saying, "No, we got a better plan. We got a better plan. It's not needed." Well, what is their better plan? The better plan that the Republicans have is that you just go away and die. That's what they're.
They had no plan. And nope. The only reason they wanted nothing to do with that was because it was Hillary Clinton that was putting it up. And that's why.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're right. Guys like Andy Stevens died. Andy, in his last days, we had to beg for money from the public in order to try and save his life.
Yes.
We had to beg for money.
Nobody would touch him without the money.
No.
And that's what happens in this country. It happens to hundreds of thousands of people a year. And, you know, these Republicans that call themselves the culture of life, they're more like the culture of death. We have no health care. They don't care if kids have health care. They don't care if kids have any kind of education or proper nutrition. They start a war on lies. And, you know, the truth is really not coming out about all the debt. Both, they're more American debt, you know, than what's being stated, because a lot of them die after they're wounded, and they're never counted as the dead, and not to mention the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. And, you know, another thing, if I can say about this, you know, Republican health care thing, their thing is to just give the, you know, the health care industry, the insurance industry, more and more profits and make more and more profits on people's misery. And I don't know about you, but a lot of people are paying more and more for less and less. And, you know, this is a crisis. It's not being addressed, and the Republicans will come back and say, oh, the Democrats have no plan. Well, the Republicans have no plan at all except more of the same, just more, give more to the rich, steal everything they can get, privatize everything, which is a nice way of saying, you know, just let big business steal it all, because that's basically what they're doing.
They are, and it fascinates me that so many people are willing to put up with it. It really does.
Yes, I can.
If we had an election today, there would still be somewhere around 38 to 40% of the people that would vote for this man. You'd have to wonder what the hell could they be thinking.
Well, I think part of it is the religious right. People go to these churches and they get brainwashed with things like abortion or gay marriage or prayer in school and all that other nonsense, and you know they lose total sight of what, you know, the Jesus, who supposedly is their spiritual master, of what he really said on the Sermon of the Mount. You know, they just emphasize, it just shows them for what they really are. They're just, you know, cold, cruel, intolerant bigots in many ways, because they only care about taking people's rights away or restricting people's rights or controlling people. They don't care one bit about, you know, health care, proper nutrition, education, a pension plan, or anything else that people need to survive and exist.
You're right, Ryan. You're exactly right.
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.
Good to hear from you.
Okay. Bye.
You know, if we let these people, this radical religious right, these Dobsons and Falwells and Robertsons and the Benny Hins and those kind of people, we'd be having the Salem witch trials round two right now. There'd be people wearing pointy hats and dunking people in ponds again and burning them at the stake. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself for a minute. I read a story this week that the Phoenix, Arizona diocese, Catholic diocese, bans politicians who support abortion and gay rights. They won't even let the governor talk at their church, any of their churches in the Phoenix diocese. What was this? Bishop Thomas J. Olmstead. I wonder if Bishop Thomas J. Olmstead, I wonder what his stance was on child abuse by priest. I wonder if that damaged anybody in his diocese. You know, and isn't it something, you talk about this faith-based initiative, the government giving money to churches for this thing, and then they ban politicians from coming into their church because they support abortion or gay rights? That's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. You know, that happened, this new pope, whatever his name is, I don't know why. His name hasn't sunk into me yet, I can think of his German name, but I can't think of his Pope name. Well, anyway, he's the Pope, the new Pope. He was the one that caused this whole deal in Boston, came down and hard on him and said, you know, people like John Kerry with his stance why they shouldn't be given communion in the church. Ratzinger, yeah, that's his name. But his new Pope name, I just can't think of it. Anybody, can you think of it, Johnny?
Benedict,
there we go. Benedict the 92nd or something like that. I don't know, 43rd or 17th or something like that. He's a Benedict anyway. Yeah, that's right, Benedict. How do you feel about this vacation thing with Mr. Bush? How would, let me ask you, if you were the President of the United States right now And let's see, we lost, what, 21 soldiers out of one outfit in Brook Park, Ohio this weekend, and things not been going so good, and our boys and girls getting slaughtered over there on a regular basis this year, and we're by no means out of the woods in that mess over there. Would you have the cojones to go on a 5-week vacation away from Washington, D.C.? Would you? You know, you tell everybody, well, it's a working vacation. Sure it is, George. Sure it is. You're the President of the United States. You're supposed to be working 24 hours a day. You're on duty. 365 days a year, you might have a decision to make sometimes. So you go out there and grab your chainsaw, and you look like Mr. Tough Guy out there with your cowboy hat and your leather gloves on. I'm disgusted by that. So I looked up some figures for you. I thought you might be interested in these figures. 319 days this man has been away from the White House and vacationing and so forth since he's been in office. 319 days over 1 1/8 term. That's 4 years and 6 months and 15 days. He has averaged per year 77 and a half days of vacation a year. How many do you get? I know how many weeks of vacation I took this year. Zip. And I know a lot of people can't afford to take vacation. Ron, hold up your hand out there, Ron. How many weeks of vacation did you take this year? Zero. But our commander-in-chief took 77 and a half days. Now, I wondered how this compared to other folks. So I looked it up. George Herbert Walker Bush, it seems these Bush folks got some sort of a fetish about vacation. In George Herbert Walker Bush's term, 1 year, one term, 4 years, he took 543 days off, which averaged 135 days a year. Now, that's not bad, coming down here to Boca Grande and fishing and going up to Kennebunkport and all that. Those Bush guys, they got a real thing about going on vacation. So he averaged 135 days a year. His son has averaged 77 and a half days. And Ronald Reagan averaged 41, almost 42 days a year in vacation. And we have Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter averaging 19 days a year. What does that tell you? 19 days for Clinton, 77 days for Georgie Bush. Let's see, 19 days for Clinton, and the stock market was at an all-time high. We didn't have 1,800 soldiers killed. Our foreign relations were real good. I don't know. Things were just pretty good all the way around. 19 days for him and 77 days a year for this loser that's in there right now. And he's a loser. And I'm sorry, if it makes you mad that I say that, I don't care. Because he's a loser. And someday, every single one of you, except the stupid among you, every one of you will understand that this man is a loser. Sooner or later, it's going to sink into you that this man is the biggest loser we've had in our lifetime and in anybody's lifetime that's on this planet right now as a president of the United States. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Well, I see it's the bottom of the hour, and I could talk a long time about George Bush being a loser, and I may talk some more about it during this program, but right now we're going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show.
This is the Democrat Radio Network. The Guy James Show is on in less than 4 minutes.
There, see what you make me do.
I'm very excited. I'm very pleased.
It's going too far, man.
Cool.
Okay? This is not normal.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
What's happened to you before?
Let me tell you why you're here.
Iron Man.
Adaptation.
All right, here's the deal.
Improvisation.
And we're looking for what?
Your weakness.
Just what?
Not your technique.
But before y'all get to being in New York, there's a couple things I want you to understand.
Again?
Oh, wait, that was on Final Jeopardy last night. Damn, Alex.
Good.
Give me your attention, bro. A moment?
Show me. I see we have a question. You have to see it for yourself.
What will follow is a series of simple tests of motor skills, concentration, staffing.
Good night, buddy.
You have no idea.
You're all here because you're the best of the best.
Okay.
Charge Schneider.
Can you run over your plan with me one more time? Because I'm struggling with it.
Aren't you going to read my rights?
That's banging, right?
I offered you a snack, not the whole kitchen.
Whoa. Hold on there.
I do not want to go to jail. I don't want to get arrested.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 3 minutes.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Don't even worry about that. I got you covered.
Is that right?
Let me go out there with a man.
make out or something?
Man!
That is classic!
Excuse me. Look, this is the real world. This is politics.
You're all under arrest!
Once again, the communication process is broken down.
Listen, you're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
You're in or out. Right now.
Look, we all go way back, and I owe you from the thing with the guy in the place, and I'll never forget it.
A little professionalism, please!
You're looking to be getting in.
It's an extremely private party.
If you want to act like a pimp, then you just stand there with your finger in your nose while the great one speaks.
Yo, man, what's with all this hostility, man?
What did you say?
Only take one step at a time. That's why I was given 2 feet.
Okay, Pete, let's move this down, though. I'm not having any fun here. You know how cranky I get when I don't have any fun.
All right, so what do you want us to do? You know, we're exhausted. We haven't slept for 2 days.
Stay on the trail. You sleep next month.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 2 minutes.
What's next, fellas? Cow tipping?
I've digitized and synchronized them, so we're ready to go.
Where am I?
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, damen und herren, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, ladies and gentlemen, may I present, for your intellectual and philosophical pleasure, crude, yes, primitive, yes, perhaps even grotesque, yet something inexplicable tells me that this might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get dropped out.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access granted.
Calibrate digital audio.
Equalize it.
Add echo.
Set up. Complete. Initiate transmission.
While the radical right spin their heads off, all that's left is the truth. You're on the Guy James Show.
Well, it's good to be back with you. You listen to the Guy James Show, coming to you from Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. And do want to let you know we got a little Republican love for you coming up a little later in the program. I know you always like that. And we share with you during that time some of the most endearing mail that we get during the week. We can't print some of the nasty stuff, but we clean some of it up as best we can and then present it to you. And it's always a popular part of the show, so stay tuned for that. We're going to be doing that just a little bit later on. And we did promise you no Bob Novak moments. Now, you know, that Bob Novak thing this week, let me clear something up. They're trying their best to spin that as that James Carville said something to offend Bob Novak, and it was nothing of the kind. Nothing that Carville said whatsoever. The producer of that show had told Novak ahead of time that they were going to ask him questions about the Valerie Plame thing, and when it came time for that, Novak got up and said, and walked out of the studio. That's what happened. It wasn't anything Carville said at all. So let's not make James Carville, our good friend James Carville, let's not make him the bad guy. Although, I must tell you, James wouldn't mind being the bad guy in a situation. He never does. This is interesting on the screen here. We got John in Naples who says it's better if Bush stays on vacation. Hi, John.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I really think we ought to keep Bush on vacation for, you know, the rest of the time until we impeach him.
Just keep him down there.
Yeah, and then we should give the guys who fly Air Force One, let's put them on vacation too, so he can't be wasting our taxpayer money flying to New Mexico to sign one bill and Chicago to sign another bill.
I think it's a good idea.
On a vacation, a working vacation.
Yeah.
You know, let's put him in Crawford, leave him there. In fact, put a fence up and keep him there. And I think the whole world will be a whole lot better off.
I like your idea, John. I'll go for that. I'll see. One of our friends is down there right now trying to meet with him, and she won't get to first base. Cindy Sheehan, one of our guests that we had on a program not long ago, one of the Gold Star mothers, her lost her son in Iraq. She,
yeah, well, if she meets with him, she ain't going to get anything but a bunch of horses.
No, he won't meet with her. There's no chance he's going to meet with her.
He's
a coward.
You know, he's going to fly to New Mexico to sign some kind of a bill.
Yeah.
And he's going to fly to Chicago. He isn't going to Ohio to attend any funerals.
Well, you ought to go. You ought to go up to Ohio and visit Taft right now and his good friend Noe.
Go to Ohio and pay his respects to those reservists.
Oh yeah. Well, he's not going to do that either.
He's going to avoid that by all means.
You bet he is. Hey, John, thanks for your call. I like your idea. Let's keep him on vacation. Let's certainly do that. From one John, let's go to another John in Bonita. Hi, John.
How you doing, guy?
Good.
Hey, listen, you know, I hear a lot of talk about, you know, this, that, you know, we all know what kind of guy Bush is. How he got elected president comes down to one thing, marketing and knowledge of demographics. So if you get somebody that's not afraid to tell the truth, just like it is, back it up like Kerry and the rest of them, and you market this individual, and this individual's a true patriot, you just might have a president that's worthy to change this country.
Well, it does take marketing, that's for certain. It does, and I just thought I thought the Democrats did a real poor job of marketing John Kerry.
Well, yeah, you know, if you can sell George Bush, you can make Whoopi Goldberg the president. You know what I'm saying? You know, you could, like, if you know how it is in this country. If you market something properly and you get to all the avenues, and if you can get past the agenda of people like Rupert Murdoch and Pat Robertson and Ralph Reed, which is not too bad at marketing himself, then you would have a shot. But as long as we sit back and watch this crazy man with people coming home with their legs blown off and this and that, for no reason at all, National Guard people that aren't supposed to be there in the first place, then we're going to have to stand up and realize you got to beat them at their own game.
That's right. That's right. And why, oh, why does the Democratic Party hierarchy understand that? And they don't. They do not understand that.
Well, if they don't understand that, they're putting us all at risk. You know that as much as I do.
You bet. I do. They think it's business as usual, and they're going to have to change their ways. Thanks for your call, John.
Okay, thank
you. By the way, you win the statement of the week so far. If you can elect him, you could elect Whoopi Goldberg. I like that. Thank you, sir.
Bye now.
That's a beauty, that is. Hey, it's going up to Winter Haven, Florida. We got Juanita on the line up there. Hi, Juanita.
Hello there. I'm John, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to say a couple of things, if you don't mind, about the communion.
Yes.
It's something I believe that I've learned through the years, and I always, when I was, first started getting it, I think, they say, now be sure you're worthy, examine yourself to be sure you're worthy to take it. And I think, oh, I better not take it, you know, or if I did take it, I thought, oh, I'm going to be in trouble. And I've come to a conclusion, it's not that we're worthy because we believe Jesus, not because of what we do or don't do. And, you know, when you think about it, the Last Supper, Jesus didn't deny Judas. You know, Jesus partook of their communion.
That's right. That's right.
So I think, you know, that it's, you know, it's doing God's work for instead of letting God do it. And another thing about us being, you know, not marketing correctly, I think that we're kind of like a battered wife, you know. We go along, and if they say, oh, you should apologize, oh, I'm sorry, you know. But,
I think that's probably a pretty good analogy right there.
Yeah, it seems to me that our country, we were supposed to get away from royalty. And if you watch the English Parliament, they just go on and carry on. And over here, you know, we're so polite, you know, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. And look at the guy that ran in Ohio. he was plain spoken, and they asked him if he was sorry for anything he said. He said, no, I mean,
that's right. That's right. He'll be back.
Yeah.
Paul Hackett
and
will
that's
be back.
And we need. And also up here where I am, my understanding is that some of the people in the Democratic powers that be, they don't want us to say anything about anybody, you know.
Oh, we've got to play nice.
About our people, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think that we need to get out of all this royalty stuff.
Well,
you know,
we got to have.
And I just want to say a couple of things about a miss last week about suggestions. I just got two. One of them is keep that original theme music for your Republican Love.
All right.
Because I think that's just perfect.
Okay.
And then the second one is that if you could get, interview people like Juan, Dr. Juan, people
yeah.
like that, if they're willing to be interviewed.
Sure.
And he could tell a lot about, he could explain a lot about the medical things. Now, for instance, me, I have Medicare and Medicaid, and I've developed a heart condition, and I have problems with my legs. And the doctor can't do anything about my legs now. They have to wait. And I've been waiting and waiting. And it's not just that, it's a lot of things. And I have a girlfriend that she can't get medication because she didn't have the proper procedure. You know, it's just all kind of things like that, and I'm sure he could explain a lot of that because I think a lot of people don't understand.
Well, you're right. We'll endeavor to do some of those things.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call, Winnie.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
We're going to go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good evening, Guy.
Hello.
Guy, this morning on another station, I heard the president. I didn't hear the whole thing because I just heard the first statement. That was enough to get me. But I thought maybe you can explain because I need somebody to explain to me.
Yeah.
The president said we have improved the economy. It is doing so well.
Best in 20 years, he said.
Can you explain that to me?
I don't think anybody can explain that one. Where did he pull that rabbit out of the hat from?
I don't know, but I'm asking you because you have the fountain of wisdom.
I heard him say that. I about fell off my chair. The most robust economy we've had in 20 years, he said. I don't know. I think there are people that might argue that maybe in the 90s things were pretty decent. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Well, you know, I know he's on his farm, and he rides a bicycle once in a while. Is that correct?
Yeah. He's
so he doesn't have to drive a car and have to pay for the price of gasoline? Is that the same down in Texas? Do they pay cheaper prices than we do down here?
I don't know what they pay for gas. I do know in Arizona, I talked to a relative out there today, it's about 4 cents a gallon more than it is here in South Florida.
Well, I thought the economy was doing so better.
Well,
I mean, I go to the store. I don't know about the average person, but I go to... Now, in Florida, we have Publix. And the prices seem to be going up on everything.
Yeah, they are.
The price of gas keeps going up and up and up. The money is coming out of the wallet. So I just don't understand, and I guess I'm slow, and I need somebody to help me, of how this economy is doing better for people like us.
I don't see it. I don't see any indication of it whatsoever. I have many, many friends that are small retailers. And I don't know a single one who thinks things are good right now.
Okay. If we can agree on that, that there's a problem. I think I've heard caller after caller, and I'm hearing TV show after TV show, basically saying the war in Iraq is becoming a disaster. That's about the best way you can describe it.
It is, in fact.
I don't think anybody can say it's doing well at the present moment, especially when we lose all those troops in 1 week. And I think the number is well over 1,800 right now.
Yes.
Now, they're saying the economy is doing so well. I think you can argue that. The war is not doing well. What else is he doing that's so wonderful?
I have challenged anybody to call in this program and recite to me the positive achievements of this administration, and I've yet to have anybody do it.
Well, it would seem to me that the Democratic Party in opposition ought to be able to take these things and deal with it and mount up question to the American public. How are you better off today than when Bill Clinton was in office?
John, let me just say it the plainest way I know how. I think those that are running, I'll leave Howard Dean out of what I'm about to say, but I think the hierarchy and the Democratic Party, the people that strategize and get ready for election, I think they're fools. I would get rid of everybody who had anything to do with the national elections in the Democratic Party for the last election. They've got to go. There's got to have a whole new way of thinking. These people who have run these recent campaigns are fools.
Well, I would tend to agree with you, because when we say we're a Democrat and proud of it, at this point I can't say that either. I do know the way I feel about this current administration, and I cannot find anything they're doing that I'm happy with. I don't like the way this country is going. And somehow people have got to get together and realize that a change is needed, that we're heading, this country is probably in worse shape than I can ever remember in my lifetime, and I've got quite a few years under my belt right
now. Most certainly it is.
And if the leadership of this country cannot make life better for the average John Q. citizen, I mean, you can't just run on abortion and all of the so-called moral issues which people have battles with anyway. Take away our rights. I don't think he has made us safer from terrorism either.
Nope.
I mean, what can anybody tell us what happened in London cannot happen here?
Any day now.
So where is it that this administration is successful?
I've yet to have anybody tell me. I wish I knew. I'd like to even have an argument with somebody to say, hey, this happened or that happened, and nobody says.
Well, if you get any of these Republican callers questioning you, maybe you can ask them to show you what he's done that is so much better. Because I'm looking at this, I'm looking at my wallet, I'm looking at my quality of life. I can't say that things are getting better. I can't think that people in Ohio can be very happy with all those dead troops coming home at this point for seemingly no purpose. I just can't find anything that's happening that the Republicans can crow about. And to say the economy is improving, I think people have to look at it and say, is it better for my wallet? Am I doing better? Maybe the people on top are, but the average worker and Joe citizen, I don't think, is doing better.
The rich are getting richer. John, thank you for your call.
Well, I just leave you with those questions, sir, which I must tell you I am disappointed because you haven't answered.
Well, I'm going to give you what I've jotted down as some Bush compliments coming up.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to hearing
them. All right.
Well, thank you for your show.
Thank you.
Take care.
Let me just go over some Bush accomplishments that I have discovered here, there, and everywhere. Some are some that I've found. Some are some friends on Democratic Underground have found. Some on Democrats.com. So give credit where credit's due. Let's just give you a list of the Bush accomplishments so far as I see it. And I'm going to be in this fair as I possibly can be here. We invaded a foreign country based on lies and deceptions, responsible for the death of thousands upon thousands of innocent Iraqis and 1,800 U.S. soldiers. That's one of his accomplishments. Over $9 billion of United States taxpayer money earmarked for post-war Iraq came up missing. No one knows where it is. I think you might check in the pockets of the Halliburton and KBR folks. You know, they looted the U.S. Treasury for the war in Iraq to the tune of some $185 billion and counting. Replaced the budget surplus with a veritable ocean of red ink, a projected debt $4 trillion by the year 2013. Reversed dramatic improvements in air and water quality brought by federal Clear Water and Clean Air Acts. Totally reversed those. Signed a tax cut giving average reduction of $93,500 to millionaires while the middle class receives a cut of $217 per household. 36% of households received no tax cut. Proposed changes in Fair Labor Standards Act that would deny more than 80 million workers overtime pay by reclassifying them. Remember, these are the accomplishments of the Bush administration. These are the most positive positive things I can find. Opposed equal opportunity for girls and women and people of color by attempting to rewrite the Title IX and end affirmative action. They implemented the No Child Left Behind Act, focusing on high-stakes standardized testing and downplaying arts and multicultural education. And they supported cutting 25, I particularly like this one, they supported cutting $25 billion in veterans benefits over the next 10 years. Veterans benefits. We have 150,000 people in the theater of war in the country of Iraq right now, and several more thousand in Afghanistan, and they cut $25 billion in veteran benefits over the next 10 years. Proposed $172 million in cuts from education programs for soldiers' children. Ordered the VA to stop publicizing health benefits available to veterans. Yes, you heard that right. Sent out memos to the VA hospitals and told them, ordered them to stop publicizing health benefits available to veterans. Could anybody with a conscience have done any of that to the veterans? Could anybody with a smidgen of a conscience at all do that? Anybody? Would any decent person propose that? Jesus, we got 150,000 people in Iraq and we're cutting veterans' benefits. Some of them over there destitute right now because they've lost jobs. Their wives are back here barely able to get by eating on food stamps. And they cut veterans' benefits for God's sake. What kind of a man would you be to do something like that? What kind of a despicable, vile human being would you be to send these people to war and cut their benefits? Oh, my God. They rejected the germ warfare enforcement protocols, pulled out of the anti-ballistic missile treaty, rejected the biological weapons convention, failed to sign the landmine ban treaty, and continue to manufacture and stockpile nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. They dropped cluster bombs designed to maim people on Afghani civilians. They dropped food packets the same color as unexploded bomblets in Afghanistan, and children's lost their lives and limbs. They undermined the United Nations and the International Criminal Court. They reneged on the Kyoto Treaty to curb global warming. They advocated gluttonous consumption as American entitlement to a way of life. They've done nothing to conserve energy in this country. Just passed this phony new energy bill that isn't worth the paper it's written on. Did nothing to conserve fuel in the United States. Nothing. Nothing to bring the price of fuel down so the average American will be able to afford it. Nothing. Those are the accomplishments of the Bush administration. He endorsed secret military tribunals and extrajudicial executions. They used funds earmarked for health care programs for uninsured to pay for tax cuts. And he set in the record for the most vacations. You want to know the accomplishments of George W. Bush? There they are. Those are the best ones. Those are the most notable accomplishments of this man. You know it, and I know it. I didn't vote for this man. Some of you listening to this program did. Your conscience must be hurting you now. Your conscience must be talking to you now. Don't ever let me make a mistake like that again. Or, if you're just plain stupid, and some of you are, you'd go ahead and do it again, wouldn't you? You'd go ahead and vote for this guy just to be stubborn. Just to be stubborn, to refuse to say that you were wrong in backing this horrible, horrible loser of a man as a president of the United States. Some of you would vote for him again. I know that. And some of you listening know that. Some of the people send me email these weeks say, oh, you know, they say things about George W. Bush that make me want to cry. I read some of the idiotic email I get about how God has chosen him to be the president of the United States. Let me tell you something, folks. If God chose him to be president of the United States, he chose Bill Clinton, too. But you hated Bill Clinton's guts. He did everything he could to remove that man from office over something absolutely foolish. But here's a man that's run roughshod over the people of the United States. Here's a man who's gotten untold thousands of Americans killed for no apparent reason. Here's a man on whose watch 9/11 happened after he'd been warned and warned and warned and failed to pay heed to any of those warnings. I'm not saying it wouldn't have happened anyway. It very well might have. But what did he do? What did he do? Totally just the Clinton administration people told him that Al-Qaeda and the terrorism problem was something they're going to have to spend more time on than anything else. And they laughed at him. They paid no heed to him whatsoever. This is our administration. We'll do what we want to do. I tell you, I got to thinking about this week, and I sat with my head in my hands wondering, what's going to happen to this country? What is going to happen to this country if the electorate of this country continues to put people like George W. Bush in office? What is wrong with the electorate of America? What is wrong with an electorate that would put a man like that in office? Please tell me. I'd like to know. For what reason did you vote for this man? Moral values? We heard that one. You can toss that one aside. We know now the man has no morals. Has none at all. Doesn't know what the word means. Oh, he's a good Christian. Is he? Is this a Christian nation, the way this nation is behaving right now? I think not. Is this a Christian nation, the way that we're behaving toward our fellow man? Toward people from other religions? Toward people from... got different color skin than we do? The majority of us? Are we a Christian nation? I don't think so. Some of us would aspire to have this nation as a Christian nation, but we're a long, long, long way from achieving it right now. Just like I talked to you earlier, the bishop out in Arizona in the Phoenix Diocese saw fit to ban people that doesn't agree with his political philosophy from his church. Would Jesus Christ do that? Would Jesus Christ ban somebody from a Sunday service in his church? I don't think so. I don't think that's what it's all about. Never was about that, never will be about that. That's a fool's errand. Absolutely a fool's errand for a man that would do that, bishop or not. He's a fool. Well, we're coming to the top of the hour, and we're going to regroup here. You're listening to the Guy James Show on 1240 AM, 1270 AM, Wink, WNOG, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be back after the top of the hour.
You've been listening to the Guy James Show, America's number one democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of the Guy James Show is on the way. This is the Guy James Show on Wink, WNOG. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
Let me tell you why you're here.
Iron Man.
Adaptation.
Heart giving.
Improvisation.
And we're looking for what?
It's your weakness.
Just what?
Not your technique.
But before y'all get to being in the app, there's a couple things I want you to understand.
Again.
Oh, wait. That was on Final Jeopardy last night. Damn, Alex.
Good. Give me your attention for a moment.
Show me. I see we have a question. You have to see it for yourself.
What will follow is a series of simple tests. Motor skills, concentration, staffing.
You're good at that, but isn't it?
You have no idea.
You're all here because you're the best of the best.
Okay.
Charge igniter.
Can you run over your plan with me one more time? Because I'm struggling with it.
Aren't you going to renew my ranks?
That's banging, right?
I offered you a snack, not the whole kitchen.
Whoa. Hold on there.
I do not want to go to jail. I don't want to get arrested.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 3 minutes.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Don't even worry about that. I got you covered.
Is that right?
Any girls now want to make out or something?
Man!
That is cool.
Excuse me. Look, this is the real world. This is politics.
You're all under arrest!
Once again, the communication process is broken down. Listen.
You're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
You're either in or out. Right now.
Look, we all go way back, and I owe you from the thing with the guy in the place, and I'll never forget.
A little professionalism, please!
You're looking to be getting in. It's an extremely private party tonight.
You want to act like a kid, then you just stand there with your finger in your nose while the great one speaks.
Yo, man, what's with all this hostility, man?
What did you say?
Only take one step at a time. That's why I was given 2 feet.
Okay, see, this little bit, John Doe, I'm not having any fun here. You know how cranky I get when I don't have any fun.
All right, so what do you want us to do? You know, we're exhausted. We haven't slept for 2 days.
Stay on the trail. You'll sleep next month.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 2 minutes.
What's next, fellas? Cow tipping?
I'm digitized and synchronized, and so we're ready to go.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, damen und herren, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, ladies and gentlemen, may I present, for your intellectual and philosophical pleasure, crude, yes, primitive, yes, perhaps even grotesque, yet something inexplicable tells me that this might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Run, I say! Run!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let's go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access.
While the radical right spin their heads off, all that's left is the truth. You're on the Guy James Show.
Station Wink WNOG. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
The Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James. Oh yeah, all that's left is the truth. We're glad to have you along with us on our truth-seeking program here. We always endeavor to bring you the truth each and every week. Glad to do so. Glad to be with you each and every week. And want to say hello to all of our friends down in Naples, Florida, and here in Fort Myers, and all points north, south, east, and west here. And, of course, all of our good friends on the Internet, the Democratic Underground. Is he a proud patriot and swamp rat? Just logged on the Internet there just a little bit ago. They've joined the program along with the other folks. Glad to have all of you with us. You can call us, too, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Love to hear from you. And before I get back to the phone, I was thinking last night, what would happen if we Democrats decided to give Bush some kind of a temporary pass and let him discard all the lies he's told us about getting involved in Iraq? Just let's pretend we didn't hear any of it so far. Nothing. Okay, can you do that for a moment? Forget it. Let's just pretend we didn't hear any of the lies he and his people told and let him start over again. What would he say now? What would he say now?
You know, we heard him and his pal tell us that we were about to be evaporated in a mushroom cloud and that there were these huge storehouses of WMDs ready to be unleashed upon the American public. And we were told that the Iraqis had these drone airplanes that could drop biological warfare material on us at any minute, and that they had these aluminum tubes used to make nuclear material and what else. They were liberating the Iraqi people. I particularly like that one. And then after all those lines were found to be just totally meaningless, we were told that we were bringing freedom and democracy to Iraq. So let's just let him clean the slate for a moment. Just get amnesia, forget what he said, and ask him what is the real reason we went to Iraq now, Mr. Bush. What is it? What's the real reason? What would he say now? That's interesting to wonder. Now that we know that the Iraqi people hate us, and now that we know all those other initial reasons were nothing but bunk, what would Bush say now if we told him to start over again with his explanations? I got an idea. Why not have Mr. Bush tell us that the real reason we're in Iraq is none of the above, but rather that we wanted to establish a dominant military presence in Iraq so that when the coming oil shortage becomes critical to the United States, we'll have the necessary military power in place in the Middle East and be able to take the oil from them or make them sell it to us so that we don't become a third world country for lack of oil? Why not tell us that, Mr. President? Because that is the real reason we're over there, isn't it? You haven't encouraged conservation of oil. You haven't seriously encouraged alternative energy solutions. You haven't heard any of that from this administration. Now, you've taken the easiest route by bullying our way into the Middle East and showing the entire world that we are the boss and they, the rest of the world, are going to submit to our will or else. That's the real reason, isn't it, Mr. Bush? That and the fact that the Iraq war has been a vehicle to make billions of dollars of profits for some of your fat cat friends. So let's start over, Mr. Bush. Tell the real truth, and let's see if the American people are willing to buy it. I'm guessing they won't. At least the family of the 1,800 dead soldiers killed in Iraq are not going to buy it. I'm pretty sure of that. And many of those families have let you know that already, haven't they, Mr. Bush? Including one that's down there outside your ranch right now that you won't meet with. And finally, I want to suggest one more possibility that Mr. Bush might want to say was his reason that we went into Iraq. After all, he's hidden behind this reasoning before, so why not try it again? The possibility is that God wanted him to do it. And I'm serious. He just might say that God himself told him to get the military ready and march into Iraq. Face it. You wouldn't put that one past him, would you? Of course not. If George Bush said, God told me to invade Iraq, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and James Dobson would say, praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition. They'd be ever so grateful to Mr. Bush for helping our Christian nation gain power over those evil Muslims. The fundies that go absolutely nuts with joy at the prospect of that, and you know that's true. Wouldn't it be interesting to start over right now and find out what the reason du jour would be of why we went into Iraq? Boy, I'd like to be able to do that, wouldn't you? Let's go to the phones right now, and let's go to Joe in Alba. Hi, Joe.
George the Pet Rock Bush. Is there any, if I'm correct, how come he lists the Iraqi, the GIs that die in Iraq separate from Afghanistan to come up with two different numbers?
Now they do that, yes.
Let me switch phones. Yeah. Hello?
Yes. We're here.
I was curious about why he lists the Iraqi dead from the Afghan dead.
I don't know why they do that. I mean, they just want to, you know.
You know, is it a shot to lose numbers?
I don't know. They've played with numbers every which way they could so far. You know the fact that they don't count the dead. They haven't counted the dead in on the total. The ones that don't die actually on the battlefield, they don't count them in the total.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's been a lot of folks die.
I just thought that was extremely odd that.
It is.
You know, because we went in a war on terror, so the whole thing, two fronts, is still a war on terror, and it would be, the numbers would exceed 2,000.
Oh, yeah, it would. And, you know, you have to wonder what kind of good we've done so far. It was, what, 4 years ago that... nearly 4 years ago. Not quite 4 years ago. He said he was going to get Bin Laden dead or alive, and I don't think we've done that yet. So, I don't know. Been a failure in all accounts in that respect. Hey, thank you for your call, Joe. Good,
okay.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks a lot.
Let's go to Mary in Naples. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Very good.
Well, I just want to know what we as Democrats and as citizens of the world and human beings can do to actually let the Bush administration know how unhappy we are with their performance and how to bring them down from power. I want to bring every single one of them out of power.
I don't think the Bush administration cares one whit that we're unhappy with them. I think they plan on keeping power with the right wing by hook or crook, whatever they have to do it. And I think our main emphasis now has got to be to get the power away from them and be strong in doing so and come up with the right kind of strategy and not be a bunch of wimps like we have been.
Exactly. Well, how do you do that when they control the media and they control the voting machines and
they control
the elections, everything?
I think we have to get serious about trying to get our licks in on the media. We haven't. I was going to talk about that earlier tonight. We've had all this money from the ACT organization and the MoveOn.org, George Soros, and all this money put forth. And what did we do to gain a foothold in the media? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, what can we do when all those people are mainly either threatened or run by the GOP, and therefore they're told what they can allow or not allow on their media?
Well, Democrats have money, too, and they've just been putting it in the wrong positions. You know, there are a lot of people in this country that Democrats that have donated a lot of money to the party, and it's been squandered on all the wrong things. I happen to think, and you know I'm definitely biased, I think that we have done a lousy job of setting up a media network for the Democrats. And we haven't. I happen to know for a fact that nobody in Washington has taken it seriously at all.
Well, I listen to Air America, and they don't seem to make much sense. I mean,
well, it's just the Democratic Party. If you ask them, the Democratic Party powers that be, they just don't take it seriously at all. And until we even up the score, level the playing field in the media, we're going to continue to get our hats handed to us in the political ring. I really think so.
So marching on Tallahassee or Washington or anything won't do any good to knock some sense into these people?
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but I do know this. I do know next time around we're going to have some people running campaigns that got some real guts and that'll stand up and fight rather than surrender so easily, and I hope that's what happens.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think or believe that the Republicans know what they're doing, or are they totally brainwashed to the point that they can't even reason anymore?
I think they've become very, very good at running the media. They've got countless think tanks with hundreds of millions of dollars invested in them so far. They've set out to take over the media. They have done so, and the Democrats have watched them do it without putting up a fight. And I think that's our problem. And I think that's where we have to attack it. Mary, thanks so much for calling the program.
Thanks, Guy.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
We've sat by and. Just, let them walk over us. Just absolutely let them walk over us. Terrible. Let's go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I can barely hear you. Hello?
Yes, sir. We're
okay.
With you, Ron.
Okay, I can hardly hear you. Let me go ahead and say what I was going to say, and hopefully you hear me.
Okay.
Before I go into my the two points that I was going to talk about, I do agree that probably the most efficient and the best way that we can really make a headway against the Republicans is to get back at least 50% of the media. And how we develop a strategy to do that, we may have to do it without even the leaders of the Democratic Party help. Because if we don't do that, I think marches take too long, and it took Vietnam, 5, 10, 6 years, and too many people, and it was because the media wasn't, and our side at that time. So I think we need to help have some say in the media, and we have to do it from the grassroots, I believe, until we get some help from those people in Washington. The Republic. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Very well.
Okay. The Republicans don't call to defend Bush because they simply can't. He's a corporate boy. Let me change phones real quick and see if this is better.
All right.
Hello?
Yes. We're here.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. So, I'm sorry. The Republicans, you know, they don't call to defend Bush because they can't. I think that they know he's a corporate boy, and that he doesn't do has not done anything to help the American people. I think that their main belief, the Republicans, is that they own personal responsibility, and the Democrats depend on government handouts. And this is a key point, I think, that really rubs them the wrong way, and probably the main point why they vote the way they do, despite of all of the other things that Republicans do. If you ask anyone what is the one single point that you're a Republican, I think this is what they come up with. Well, last thing I wanted to ask, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I keep asking you, but I really let me just mention this one sentence here. Kofi Annan gave the backhand to the president. I don't know when he welcomed Bolton. I don't know if you saw that. He said he was going to try to work with Bolton as the president's representative, not as the American people representative. He said as the president's representative, which I thought it was a slap in the face to Bush. But anyway, I think during George Bush, when he underwent this physical examination, there was an internal medicine doctor there, and there was a physical or a sports medicine doctor there. They took him to explain why he fell on his bike three times and out of the couch once. But why didn't they have a psychiatrist evaluation? They didn't tell us anything. I think the man was, it deserves to be checked out by a psychiatrist. He was delusional about weapons of mass destruction. He has inappropriate mannerism and grins and winks at people sometimes.
He's unable to admit fault on anything.
Yes, and he keeps forgetting things, and he confabulates. He just fills in the space with lies, and they need to find out if he's still in the booze or not. Ask him directly, are you drinking or do a urine test? If his brain, is there something wrong with his brain? It's a heck of a lot more important if there's something wrong with his knee.
Yeah, there's something wrong with him. He's just too compliant to the hard rights agenda. He's been willing to go along with everything they've done. No sane person would do that.
Yeah, and they don't even comment on those things at all.
No, they don't.
They just let him go.
They do. Juan, thanks for your call.
Thank you, guys.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Well, right now, as promised, we're going to go to a segment of our show called A Few Minutes of Republican Love. Yes, we are. And we got the orchestra all tuned up. Are they ready? Okay. They're on. They sound real good tonight. Yes, every week we get letters. We get many, many emails each week, and I try and clean a few of them up and clean enough to be able to read on the program. It was kind of difficult to scrub some of these this week, so I'll read them to you. A Few Minutes of Republican Love. First letter starts out, it's from John. It's nice to see that the airwaves are broad enough to include monuments to political ignorance and anti-American hatred as your show. The political left is made up of two factions, Ivy League educated socialist elites who hate freedom, capitalism, and anyone who is capable of providing for themselves, and ignoramuses who were probably educated in sorely inadequate government schools, more commonly known as public schools, and couldn't identify the Constitution if it were located on the back of a government paycheck. Viva la ignorance. I hope you socialists enjoy wallowing like pigs in the mud of your own ignorance. Thank you to all of those who voted for George Bush and denied that coward Kerry the election. By the way, I'm not a Bushy Republican. I'm not a Bushy. Republicans are way too liberal for me. Ooh. My only political allegiance is to the U.S. Constitution. Try reading it sometime. It might help you in voting properly in the future. Wow. What do you say about that? I don't fit in either one of those. I'm not Ivy League, and my government school. Don't you like the way they've changed it? Called our public schools government schools now. That's another one of their little tricks. I hear Neil Bortz do that, and I hear Bush do it. I hear Pills Limbaugh do that all the time, talk about government schools. It was always a public school. Let me tell you something. My public school was an excellent school, and my kids went to public school and received excellent, excellent education. A little better than I might say for one of the, well, I won't mention any names, but we have public schools here where we are, and we also have some private schools and charter schools. One of the schools that's not a public school finished at the bottom of the list this year in the ratings. What about that? Next letter. May I humbly suggest that you move to Baghdad? Well, now, I don't think I want to move to Baghdad. Move to Baghdad ASAP so that you can get nuked along with the other a-holes who would destroy the USA. Your brand of extreme left-wing BS has no place in America. I don't worry too much about your pitiful socialist pin-hated persona, since I know you'll rot in hell. If you hate the greatest country in the world, the greatest country the world has ever known, North Korea, or perhaps your pals in Baghdad would welcome you. Enjoy your First Amendment rights until your kind destroys civilization. That's from Larry. Thank you, Larry. Beautiful thoughts, by the way. Especially the rotten in hell part. Now, here's one that's kind of brief. Get over it. I always love these sentiments right here. Get over it. You lost. We won. Like this is a football game we went to. We tried it, and you're going to love this part. We tried it the liberal way for 8 years, and no results. Eddie. I assume he's referring to the 8 years of the Clinton administration and said no results. Eddie, you on the sauce again? Are you? 8 years of peace and prosperity under Clinton, despite the Republican they obstructed everything they could, and started $70 million witch hunt. Oh yeah. And here's one here that is in all caps. I always like those ones you get in all caps. That's supposed to be like they're screaming to you on the internet. Your so-called show is the biggest pile of steaming warm dog poo that I have ever seen. You liberals have your head so far up your beep. Your man Bubba never had made it, or his boo babe Hilly Rat either. Boy, this guy's a real intellectual. You guys say what you want, but if someone disagrees with you, it's hate. Yeah, right. And the environmental wackos, do you know who started the EPA, who freed the slaves? I think all you liberals need to move to China or Cuba and see what freedom is. Maybe play baseball with Castro. And gay rights, there's the answer. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. WW, and he put W on there about 500 times, 4 more years, Greg. Thank you, Greg. It's really I read that and I wonder about that school bit the other guy was talking about. Next letter. Eventually you will come to realize, and I like this one, you'll come to realize what a blessing it is that we have a president who is able to think with his head on his shoulders. Man, I don't know. Fortunately, God is still in control of this world, and the right man was elected. You crybaby, you, and I think that's supposed to be your crybaby rantings fall on deaf ears. Wrong. Bush only thinks he's president, and only thinks that, oh well, not too smart, I don't think. No use arguing with a guy like this. Next letter. Next election day, remember how the leftist extremists want to invade your privacy, destroy your family, slaughter unborn children, violate our God-given right to own guns, and get us all in lockstep. Remember how Billary and Al Gore have killed little children at Waco, Texas? Remember how Randy Weaver's wife was murdered by the ATF while she was holding her baby in her arms? Most of all, remember how Al Gore took donations from communist China, and how we lost, misplaced, and then miraculously found our nuclear secrets with a Chinese employee? Boy, now there's a guy with an active imagination. It's typical ditto-head nonsense. everyone knows it's the right-wing extremists like the Christian Coalition that wants to invade your privacy. They want to be in your bedroom, dictate your behavior in and out of your bedroom, and legalize guns in churches and schoolyards and be in lockstep with the NRA. And I might add, Vern Howell, you know who Vern Howell is, a.k.a. David Koresh, the wacko from Waco. He burned his own followers on an audio tape. Evidence later revealed the cult followers intended to commit suicide rather than surrender after being given 51 days to do so. And if you will remember, on your little rant here, but you didn't seem to know any better, Randy Weaver's wife was killed on George Herbert Walker Bush's watch, not Bill Clinton's. It was 1994 before, 1992 before Clinton was elected president by the same Bush era FBI incompetence in charge of Waco. And also, the Republican Party officials admit they attended the 1996 Hezlide Buddhist temple meeting that Al Gore was at, and those GOP officials even said it was no fundraiser, and after 2 years of investigation, no nuclear secrets were found to be lost, and the Republicans had fabricated yet another faux scandal, and are too embarrassed to hold congressional hearings on it because it had already blown up in their faces. You haven't heard another word about it. And the last letter here for tonight, you liberals are so pathetic with your paranoia. Everyone's always out to get you. You can't defend your positions on issues, those of you who even know what issues are. So you insult people. I have never encountered the level of violence and hatred against others that you people exude. What a pitiful, unfulfilled life you must lead, totally dependent on Big Brother to take care of you. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. I wish I had happier mail to read you each week, but that's what it's like. It wasn't as funny this week as it usually is. Sometimes these people write things that are... Let me read you one quick letter here. Someone gave me a letter out of the Naples Daily News today. It was a letter to the editor, and I believe it was in yesterday's Naples Daily News. To give you folks around the country here on the Internet an idea of what we deal with, about the wacky people we deal with here in the Fort Myers-Naples area. This is to the editor, Naples Daily News. Isn't it typical of the liberal Democrats to say President Bush shouldn't have a litmus test when he chooses judges in this country when they insist that new judges should be pro-abortion? I have never heard anybody say that anybody ought to be pro-abortion. Not a single one have I heard that say that. They're so afraid that they will not be allowed to go on killing babies in the womb that they will do anything they can to see that a conservative is not put on the Supreme Court. In fact, the abortion issue seems to be the only issue that they're worried about. Roe v. Wade was a bad decision and should be overturned. A baby is a child, not a choice. Now, there's a pot calling the kettle black. Some wacky Republican saying that the Roe v. Wade is the only issue the Democrats are concerned with. Oh, my God. He goes on to say the liberal Democrats are finally losing at every turn. They lost the House, they lost the Senate, and soon they will lose the court. I didn't know the court was supposed to be a political entity. But you do, evidently. The New York Times, the Boston Globe, Los Angeles Times, ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNBC have all lost subscribers and viewers. PBS now has a Republican conservative at the helm, and Fox News has killed them all off. Now, I think the major networks would find that to be a real hoot, that Fox News has killed anybody off. That's a joke. Here he tells the truth. The conservatives own talk radio. The liberals just can't compete. Nobody wants to listen to their ranting and raving about the president. The moral majority is back and stronger than ever. I can't argue with that. They are. All I can say to the liberals is keep knocking this country, our troops, and President Bush because it's backfiring on them. And you know, no right-winger could write a letter to the editor without including this. Hillary Clinton is a dangerous and deceptive woman and must be aggressively taken on come the next election or our country will be lost to socialism. Joseph Casamento in Naples. Joseph, thank you. What a fine, fine, fine intellectual discussion that was in the newspaper. Very glad to hear from you. Hey, that's about all we have for this half hour. We're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back after these few words.
This is the Guy James Radio Network.
says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
Concentration.
Happy good day, buddy.
You have no idea.
You're all here because you're the best of the best.
Okay. Charge the tighter.
Can you run over your plan with me one more time? Because I'm struggling with it.
Aren't you going to read me my rights?
That's banging, right?
Oh, but you a thing, not the whole kitchen.
Whoa, hold on there.
I do not want to go to jail. I don't want to get arrested.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 3 minutes.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Don't even worry about that. I got you covered.
Is that right?
So when you go out there wearing that dad or something?
Man! That is classic!
Excuse me. Look, this is the real world. This is politics.
You're all under arrest!
Once again, the communication process is broken down.
Listen, you're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
You're in or you're out. Right now.
Look, we all go way back, and I owe you from the thing with the guy in the place, and I'll never forget it.
A little professionalism, please!
You're lucky to be getting in. It's an extremely private party tonight.
If you want to act like a kid, then you just stand there with your finger in your nose while the great one speaks.
Yo, man, what's with all this hostility, man?
What did you say?
Only take one step at a time. That's why I was given 2 feet.
Okay, geez, let's move on to John Doe. I'm not having any fun here. You know how cranky I get when I don't have any fun.
All right, so what do you want us to do? You know, we're exhausted. We haven't slept for 2 days.
Stay on the trail. You sleep next month.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 2 minutes.
What's next, fellas? Cow tipping?
I've digitized and synchronized them, so we're ready to go. Where am I?
Alive. It's alive!
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, Damen und Herren, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, ladies and gentlemen, may I present, for your intellectual and philosophical pleasure, crude, yes, primitive, yes, perhaps even grotesque, yet something inexplicable tells me that this might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get calm down.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access granted.
Celebrate digital audio.
Privacy, equalize it, add echo.
Set up, complete. Initiate transmission.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. While the radical right spin their heads off, all that's left is the truth. You're on the Guy James Show.
Ah, yes, back with you for the final half hour of the program this evening. Where does the time go? You know what today is? Anybody know what today is? 4 years ago today. I keep track of these things. I have a different kind of calendar than a lot of people do. People have birthdays and anniversaries. I have a political calendar. And 4 years ago today, our illustrious, brave, intellectual president was handed a memo. Actually, his daily presidential briefing, the what do they call it, the PDB, which told him, in the most stark of terms, that bin Laden, and it said it in those words, bin Laden was determined to strike in the USA. This was during what was then the longest presidential vacation in 32 years. That is, of course, up until the one he's enjoying now, of course. Yes, that presidential daily briefing said that. The Clinton administration security officials told Bush that he'd have to spend more time on terrorism and on Al-Qaeda specifically. They mentioned Al-Qaeda specifically than on any other subject. And later Bush said he really didn't feel a real sense of urgency about it. And there is, in fact, some real doubt as to whether or not Bush actually even read that PDB telling about bin Laden's plans. But, you know, he doesn't seem to be very interested. So here we are, nearly 4 years after 9/11, and we're at war. A dirty, messy, hot, miserable war, which is killing far too many of our brave men and women in our armed forces. Sacrifices are being made throughout the military, and what is Bush doing to show his appreciation to the dedication of our service personnel? Well, I already told you, he's cutting their benefits. And he's taking a vacation, of course. 5 weeks this time. 5 weeks. He needs to relax. Well, isn't that special? And is his hectic pace as president making him that tired? Or are those 2 hours in the middle of each day he takes for workouts getting to him? Does he really need 5 weeks vacation while those he sent into battle are getting their arms and legs blown off in that hellhole of a country? Is the fatigue getting to him? All those rides on Air Force One? Is the stress of the job getting to him? Or are we to feel sorry for him? I don't. In fact, I think it's damn disgraceful. Damn disgraceful for him to head to the old ranch for 5 weeks where our soldiers are sweating their hind ends off over in Iraq. I couldn't do that. Unless you feel sorry for him for being so stressed out that he needs 5 weeks to relax, please remember that he did volunteer for that job. I don't remember anybody begging him to take it. And I think, and many people think, he really doesn't take the job seriously. Yes, he wanted the job, but just for it to have the name. He likes being president of the United States. He hasn't acted like he takes the job seriously anyway, and I doubt that there's ever been a president who's had a more cavalier attitude toward the job than this guy. He really, he seemed content to leave the details up to Karl Rove and Dick Cheney. He does all the PR stuff and then leaves the actual running of things up to Karl and Dick and their friends, and you know how that goes. My dad, God rest his soul, used to complain about Dwight Eisenhower playing so much golf. That's all I heard when Ike was the president. My dad just constantly complained about Ike going down to Augusta and playing golf. He didn't like that. And he complained about it so much. Well, my dad isn't with us anymore, but I can imagine what he would say about Bush being our first ever part-time president. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't be able to say on the air what my dad would say about that. It seems to me, and I could be wrong, but it seems to me if a man runs for the job of president of the United States, he ought to take the job seriously and work at it full time. This guy's a pretender to the throne, and not a very good pretender at that. Very poor pretender. Let's not forget that Bush said right after 9/11 that he was going to capture bin Laden dead or alive. Is bin Laden still alive? Obviously he is. Is he captured? No. It seems to me that Bush's job in that regard is blatantly undone. So maybe I'm being a little bit picky, but I think the President of the United States taking a five-week vacation in the middle of the war with the most dangerous man in the world on the loose is just a little bit irresponsible. I really think it is. What do you think? I'd like to hear from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Irresponsible, and the word irresponsible and George W. Bush just kind of goes together, don't you think? You think back to his youth, his wild days, as they called him, irresponsible. You think about his National Guard days, irresponsible. You hear about his college days and some of the things, the hijinks he was up to, irresponsible. You hear about his career in the oil business, very irresponsible. So I think that word just goes along with him quite well. Let's go to the phones and talk to Bill in Toledo. Hi, Bill.
Good evening, Guy. How are you this evening?
It's darn good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too, Guy. And listen, I would like to make a couple short comments on a couple of your past shows.
Yes.
Okay. First, I want to go back to your first show, that I listened to, which I really enjoyed a lot, was November the 6th of 2004. I thought that you was such a gentleman when you took your calls after we lost that election, supposedly. And I thought that was really something. That's a guy I want to listen to. So then I got two other shows, a real short mention. And then I want to go back to a March the 13th of 2004 show where you had a lady calling to you by the name of Mrs. Brown from Michigan. I think you might remember that.
Ah, yes.
And then a show, March the 6th, where you had Dennis Kucinich, who you talked to him for a little bit, but then lost him on the cell phone, and then you played a something from another radio show of what he was saying about what we really, you know, was going to do, what this president said he was going to do and what he didn't do. And what I want to say to you is just think of, if you remember that lady called from Michigan, how those 21 people feel just what's happened in Iraq this last 3 days. Well, we lost, 25, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know when somebody's going to wake up. And what I was glad to hear, too, was when I found out, also I met Mike on the internet, your co-host there you had.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he was really great to listen to. And, you know, I just got nothing but good things to say about your show.
Well, thank you. And I'll take this opportunity to say one thing. Michael is one of the smartest people that I have ever known, a steel trap mind, and a terrific guy. And I shall always miss him. Always.
Yeah, he's in where, North Carolina?
Yeah, he moved up to North Carolina.
Yeah. And listen, I got a question for you, Guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into Ohio because I believe there's too many serious topics that you're talking about. And I believe that that's a festering right now, and then later on talk about it. But I want to ask you, Ed, and then I'll hang up and I'll listen to what you have to say. And I'd like you to explain the difference, Guy, to me, of the DNC and the DLC. And let me hang up and so I can listen to you then.
All right.
Listen, I sure appreciate it, Guy, and you have a good evening.
And I appreciate you as well, and I appreciate hearing from you this week.
Okay,
thank
Guy.
Thank you very, very much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, my take on the difference between the DLC and the DNC, I'm not a DLC kind of guy. I know that all the candidates figure they got to go out and court the DLC, but the DLC is too middle of the road for me. If I were a true middle of the road guy, I'd just go out and register as an independent. The DLC, it seems to me, and they're going to people want to hit me right between the eyes for saying this, but the Democrat Leadership Council is a group that, well, I think Evan Bayh is part of it, and Hillary spoke to him last week. It's a group trying to seek the middle, trying to get to the middle in order to get those middle voters, and trying to get them by being centrist. And I am not a centrist. And I don't think any real Democrat that really believes heart and soul in the Democratic Party is a centrist. I believe in some conservative issues. I'm fiscally conservative. I most certainly am. But on all other issues, I am socially liberal. There's no question about it, without being excessive about it. I think there's a time and a place for social liberalism, and that's what I stand for, and that's what the true Democratic National Committee and Party stands for. The DLC is attempting to... they're just attempting to gather the middle up and be in the middle and be centrist, and I don't want to be part of that. They're the ones that came along with this progressive nonsense. I know that's going to make some of you mad that I said that it's nonsense. I am a liberal Democrat. I shall always be a liberal Democrat. Do not call me a progressive. You know, and I know, that a lot of people call themselves progressives because the Republicans have been successful in demonizing the word liberal. You know, they didn't, no matter where you hear it on Hannity and Limbaugh and all those shows. You guys say, liberals, liberals, liberals. The venom just drips off of that word when they say it. And so many liberals have said, well, we'll call ourselves progressives. No, I'm not going to play that game. And that's a DLC game, and I'm not going to play it. I will not play it. I am a liberal Democrat. Basically, I say that because I'm socially liberal, and I will remain so. I believe in the common good. You can call me a socialist. You can call me anything you want to call me on account of that. But I believe in the common good for the people of the United States. I believe that if we don't look out for the common good of the people of the United States, that we as a nation will fail. Yes. Individual initiative is a wonderful thing, and we should all aspire to individual initiative to be the best that we can be individually. But when it comes down to it, the word society means that we as a nation must function as one, as to get together and help one another. And it's also the Christian way to be, to help your neighbor. Always help your neighbor. So, to me, that's the difference. I think the DLC is a very, very centrist organization. I do not back the DLC. I think they're working hard to try and get a candidate out of there. I think they're pushing Evan Bayh awfully hard. I'm not saying I'd never support a DLC person for president, but I'd look elsewhere first. Let me say that. Let's go to Alice in Northern California. Hello, Alice.
Our country is more than $7 trillion in debt.
That's a lot of money.
That debt is increasing several billion every week.
Yes.
They have borrowed $2 or $3 trillion from Social Security.
Yeah.
I believe that real criminals have stolen our government. Everything is fraud and deceit. I see no good coming from them. For myself, I'm glad that I am in my 90s, and I won't have to see what will happen to our country.
Well, Alice, you know, they talk about us talking about doom and gloom all the time. It's hard not to talk about it when you see the direction we're taking right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is hard to see a bright light at the end of the tunnel right now. And I think for the first time in America that's the way it is. I don't recall it ever being that way in the past.
No.
I don't think there's ever been a time in our nation's history that we couldn't look to the working man and see him succeed and see him make his way up the ladder in this country and see the fact that his children and his grandchildren were going to have a higher standard of living than he did. Now we're seeing the exact opposite take place, and it's a very, very sad thing to watch.
Well, I know in my 90 years I've never seen anything like this.
What's your earliest political recollection, Alice?
Oh, that was, let's see.
Do you remember Roosevelt well, for sure?
Pardon?
You remember Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah.
And Hoover.
Reagan?
And Hoover?
You didn't say Reagan, did
no,
you?
No, I said Hoover.
Oh.
Herbert Hoover.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I liked,
No, I was just asking if you remembered the time when...
I really liked Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Franklin Roosevelt will forever remain an icon in politics in this country. Thank you so much for your call, Alice. Good to hear from you. 90 years old. Boy, let me see. That's 1915, right? 1915. She might even be able to remember, if she thinks back real hard, might be able to remember Warren G. Harding. Someone was talking the other day about the worst presidents we've ever had, and I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, wait a minute. They're all Republicans. And I say that totally unbiased. I do. When you think of the list of the worst presidents we've had, they're all Republicans. And I'm not kidding about this, and I'm not being biased. You think about it. There's Ulysses S. Grant. Is a Republican. Richard Nixon and the problems that Tricky Dick had. And, of course, we don't want to forget our good friend Herbert Hoover. Right. And, of course, there's Warren G. Harding, Warren G. Harding, this might be the king of them all. I know a lot about Warren G. Harding, and he was a rascal. He really was, and he was a lousy president, too. And then we got George Bush. So, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think if you wanted to put up a bottom five, I think there they are. He can rearrange that five someplace you want to. I think Georgie will end up on the bottom. And maybe Warren G. Harding, Warren Gamil Harding, will end up next to last. And probably Herbert Hoover third to last. And, Nixon fourth to last. Yeah. And, of course, we mentioned Georgie will be last. I'm pretty sure that's the way it'll end up. And I would stake my reputation on that George Bush will be in the bottom five of presidents. And history will not be kind to what this man has done with the presidency of the United States. After all, he's shamed America. The rest of the world now thinks we're a bunch of warmongers, and they never thought that before. We were always thought of this kind and gentle but powerful nation who would help those who needed it. And now we're something else. Now we're an aggressor. I don't think he's done a lot of good for this country. I really don't. So it's going to be interesting to see where his place in history really, really is. Talked about earlier tonight about Democrats and what we should do, what we should do to get things going, what we liberals should do to get some success going in the party again. And someone wrote a great piece on the Democratic Underground called "Why a Lot of America Hates Liberals," and I'd like to read you some of this. I think it was really interesting, and I think it was right on. He said, you know, we never loved John Kerry during election. We liked him. He was a good guy, but we didn't fall in love with him as a candidate. But anyway, this gentleman on Why America Hates Liberal, Smoozecats is his name on there. Number one, political correctness. The idea that certain subjects or ideas are taboo, especially on college campuses of all places, strikes a lot of working class Americans as worthy of hearty ridicule. Liberals have, through their own actions, mostly allowed themselves to be caricatured as frumpy, humorless killjoys who want to tell everybody else what they can and can't say and think about subjects like gender, race, and class. And if you don't use the proper code words, you get a C. Well, I can agree with that, with most of it. And I am not a politically correct person. I am really not. For example, I love to watch there's nothing funnier to me right now than I can't think of what channel it is on our I know what it is on our local channel here, but there's a black station on here that has a lot of black comedians, and I think they're coming from New York, and I watch that and I nearly die laughing. And you know what the funniest part about it is? When the really good black comedians get on there and start making fun of us white people, I think it's so funny I could just die. I laugh myself silly over that, and I don't understand why people have to be so politically correct about that, because we as a race of different people, we've all got our little idiosyncrasies and things we do and ways we act that are funny. Just funny. And we white people, we old Anglos, we might be the funniest of all. And I think it's a it's a real hoot when some of the really good black comedians start in, because I think that's just the best comedy, and I love it. So political correctness, it's out the window. And the next thing, animal rights. If you think the loony left is just a canard invented by the far right, you've never found yourself in an argument with a PETA member. Working class Americans tend to glaze over and edge slowly away when you start telling them they shouldn't eat meat, wear leather, or go deer hunting. The notion that all that's wrong with the world would be righted if we just see reason and devote ourselves to living on salad and wearing shoes made out of hemp and treating cows and chickens like people strikes most Americans as ludicrous. I like that one real well. And the hyper-politicalization of everything, from language to food, to the kind of car you drive and where you shop and what long-distance company you use. Liberals are all too happy to tell you what to do and how to do it. We're unbearable little busybodies full of patronizing opinions and insufferable advice. Conservatives have managed to cultivate the image of the freewheeling, high-living cowboy type, while liberals have allowed themselves to be typecast as fussy schoolmarms, quick to remind America to eat its peas. This is not the path to political resurgence. And number four, our leadership are a pack of mealy-mouthed pantywaists who are afraid to commit to even the most obvious positions. Amen on that, brother. The war in Iraq is based on a pack of lies. The people who sent our soldiers there are lying SOBs. Tax cuts for the rich have not paid for themselves an increased tax revenue. The world is not safer because Saddam is no longer in power. Private Social Security accounts will do nothing to address America's unfunded liabilities going forward, except for Howard Dean, Harry Reid, Russ Feingold, and maybe Wes Clark. There's been a remarkable dearth of passionate, straight-talking, consistent-in-their-belief Democrats at the top of the Democratic Party. We have to do better than I voted for it before I voted against it. Man, there's some good words right there. There are some really good words right there, and the words that some of we Democrats really need to seriously consider. I think that's a good self-examination right there, and we need. But do you ever listen to Johnny? Do you ever watch those comedians? Yeah, and I tell you, when they start talking about us white people, the way we dance and the way we talk and everything, I think it's just I'll laugh myself silly over that. I really do. I want to thank you for being with us this evening. We certainly enjoy having you along with the program. I know at times this program is very serious. I know at other times that we try and have a little levity on the program. It seemed like it was pretty serious tonight. It was a serious week. When we think in retrospect about that 4 years ago, about Mr. Bush ignoring the warnings about bin Laden and so forth, that's a serious thing. And when he talked about getting bin Laden dead or alive and then just forgot that as a lark. Oh, I don't care about him anymore, we've heard. It's just a doggone shame that we hear things like that from him. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do think politically the Republicans are in trouble right now, and we're going to, as Democrats, find our way out of this somehow. I'd like to say goodnight to Jeff and Andy. I'd like to say goodnight to all of you folks that listen to the program. I'm ever so grateful to have each and every one of you every week. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Production director Johnny Johnson with J2K Productions. Program coordinator Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ken Duffy. A fishing net, not an antenna. Sources tell Fox News a British Scorpio, a robotic vessel, is cutting away a fishing net entangling a Russian submarine. It was first thought the vessel was caught on an antenna. Fox's Dana Lewis in Moscow.
There has been a real rush in Kamchatka, the Kamchatka Peninsula, which is 40 miles away from the site, to try and get these Scorpios.